dirty. We like 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 dirty. Dirty. We like, we like dirty. Dirty time.
What's up? It's your boy KFC. I'm sitting here with Dave Portnoy and Coley Mick. Caleb Presley will be joining us. It's the Barstool Radio crew on Rush 93. Coming to you live from Manhattan, Barstool HQ. Today is National Boomerang Day. Shout out to everybody out there posting their boomerangs. Hashtag National Boomerang Day if you want to get in the mix. What's up? What do you need?
It's National Chocolate Chip Day.
No, it's National Boomerang Day. Fuck the chocolate chip day. It's all about the boomerangs.
Frankie fucked up.
Huh?
Frankie looked at Frankie Pistachios.
He looked at the calendar wrong. Today's
this
National
was
Boomerang Day.
Yeah, this was printed before I knew it was National Boomerang Day.
Right. So, you know.
I'm a huge chocolate chip guy, so if it is chocolate chip, I don't want to disrespect that. That's my go-to only ice cream flavor that I really eat, unless I do coffee. But if I do coffee, I put chocolate chips in it.
Oh, only
unless I do Oreo, then I put peanut M&Ms.
Why you don't do cookie dough? Because it's kind of like you can just do the chocolate chip and then you add the cookie dough into it. I don't like cookie dough. You don't like, so you're a vanilla guy with just plain chocolate chip.
Chocolate chip, yeah. Chocolate, that's the apple pie of ice cream. I like cookie dough, like, but not in ice cream. I don't like the cookie dough ice cream.
They're selling them at Citi Field now, I'm sure, other ballparks. They just sell straight up cookie dough. And the line is, like, out the door and around the concourse for it. Some dude at the last bar sold the ballpark bought the whole tub. Like, they just picked up the metal tub and gave it to him. And it was, like, a rainy game. It was shitty. That's when I was with Frank the Tank. And
was it Frank?
What's that?
Was it Frank?
Yeah. I mean, he's not into walking, so he didn't come up there. I bet he wishes he did. He was a goddamn hero, dude. He rolled up with a bucket, and the girls flocked, and everyone was eating cookie dough. It's incredible. But no, it's National Boomerang Day, so make sure you get your boomerangs out there. It's also the 15th, which should be payday, except here at Barstool Sports, nobody got paid.
I'll tell you this.
So I'm thinking about we should just sit here in silence on the radio and just not even perform because I don't got any money. I don't get paid.
I saw Resnick's like excuse. I didn't understand it at all. I know this much. When I ran this company, we never missed payday ever. Not once.
Not once. Not one time. Except for, you know, well, there was a middle period where like Feidelberg couldn't get paid and sometimes K Marco didn't get his checks. So maybe a couple times. But
no, that was all handwritten. That was never like not once we were on. I don't understand.
Yeah, Resnick's excuse explanation was clearly a this is not my problem sort of thing, so don't bother me about it. Guess what, Resnick? I have $91 in my account. I need my fucking money.
Yeah, me too. I'm the type of guy like, I need that.
I need it. Well, you know what I learned a lot about this company is a lot of people out here are living paycheck to paycheck. Because I tweeted about it because I was like, if I don't get paid, I'm in trouble. And then K Marco chimed in, then Chaps texted me. All of a sudden, people are like, where's my fucking money?
I gotta be honest. I don't even know.
I know. You son of a bitch.
Shit hits, it doesn't hit.
I had a brief period of time. where the churning money kicked in a little bit before I had a kid where I didn't know when I got paid and when I didn't.
I never
it's
know.
A beautiful
you could not, you could not pay me and I wouldn't know. I could get stolen from so easily. It's crazy. With invoices, I feel like Lewis probably has in the past. It's like, I don't know whether I'm coming or going.
It's like when Manny Ramirez had those checks in his locker. He just didn't even cash them. It's like, I don't even know where I'm at. It's a good feeling.
Intern Brett, office manager Brett went through that phase where someone went through his mail. Was it you, Frankie? Who went through the mail on office manager Brett's desk, and he had like $50,000 worth of Barstool checks just buried underneath.
My desk was so dirty and cluttered, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to clean this up. It was like 2 months since I last cleaned my desk, and I'm going through all these like newspapers and envelopes, and I find this one, and it said to Barstool Sports and I think like Matt Resnick, and I'm like, here, Brett, what is this? And he opens it up. It was like $49,000.
Just Brett doing
it. It was from 4 months ago.
Just Brett. The beauty of Brett, he didn't even seem to faze him. He's like, oh. It's like, yeah, that's a big mistake, Brett. Like, you took the mail. It's like you have a $50,000 check.
Who's that from? Because that's the other thing.
When an advertiser.
When, like, the advertiser all of a sudden sees a $50,000 hit to their bottom line. Like, wait, that was from the summer, dude. What's going on?
We were out this past weekend, all of us. And, like, Frankie was trying to convince me Brett wasn't stupid. He's so stupid. It's like, dude, he's so stupid. Don't try to convince me he's not stupid.
Whoosh! Last night was Derek Jeter night at Yankee Stadium.
I feel like every night's been Derek Jeter night.
It's been Derek Jeter week.
Week?
Yeah.
It's been Derek Jeter 3 years. How long? I've lost track of how long he hasn't played for because he's still on his retirement tour. It's a joke.
Yeah, the farewell tour is extending. What's funny is he doesn't really care about all this shit, I don't think.
Come on.
Not anymore. I mean, he doesn't care about the Yankees. So, like, they're doing the plaque and they're doing, like, the fans and all that shit. I don't think he cares at all.
Why do you say that?
I don't think he's, he wants to go, he lives in Florida. He's going to go, like, buy into the Marlins. I think it's just, like, he happened to play for the Yankees. I think if it was any other team, it would be kind of, like, the same thing for him. I don't think he's tied to, there's a reason why he hasn't made, like, any other appearances. They've asked him to come back to the stadium. He's like, nah, I'm good. I don't think he cares
He loves soaking it up.
He likes the personal. Yes, I agree with that. But I just don't think he actually like the current Yankees.
First of all, shout out Frankie Borelli. That picture of his dad. I don't know if you saw that with Derek Jeter was amazing. His dad looks like the most prototypical Italian dude rolling out.
Is it on Twitter?
It's a very, very funny picture.
We're gonna get Coley to put it up on @Barstool Radio.
Frankie Borelli, dad's a piece.
Yeah, I mean that is. When was that? Like 90 what? Frankie?
It was like it was 95. It was like Derek Jeter's first game. He got his autograph that day and lost it. He didn't think it was gonna be anything special.
I'm gonna tell you something that's pissing me off about this. Derek Jeter, he's a great player, no doubt. Part of a lot of teams. The crowd. I think the Yankees probably win every championship they win with or without him, maybe one less. Like, they had very good teams. They had great pitching. They were loaded lineups. And he was a very good player. He's a Hall of Fame player. I know the joke about it. It's just a fact he was a bad shortstop. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
He was just no range. Like,
I think I saw a stat the other day as far as, like, defensive runs saved. He's, like, literally the worst ever.
Every single stat that they have when they played a different, like, shortstop, they had a better defense. Like, he just couldn't get to, he maybe didn't make errors, but he couldn't get to anything. Like,
but he had the jump throw, Dave.
Yeah.
The jump throw, where everybody else just plants their foot and throws the ball across the diamond.
So, really good player. I'm seeing people chirping me because I didn't even say anything. I'm like, oh, my God, this is going on forever. Will this guy this ever? And they're like, relax, you'll have it when you have Tom Brady. People who compare Tom Brady and Derek Jeter are insane. Like, you take Tom Brady off the Pats, you could save nothing, like zero. Now you got Belichick, but.
Well, that's also just the element of the sport, too, though. Like, baseball. Yeah,
well, that's what I'm saying. It's much more important. Like, the quarterback, shortstop, But, I mean, David Ortiz was much more instrumental in the Red Sox winning World Series than Derek Jeter was with the Yankees winning World Series. Like, David Ortiz single-handedly, won the Red Sox,
This is a good debate.
Two
of the
three.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk Ortiz versus Jeter.
It's not even close.
And baseball versus football as far as important players and winning championships. It's Barstool Radio, Rush 93. We'll be back. Zink. BetDSI.com. We're in the thick of things right now with the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs. We got baseball cooking. We got a lot of games to bet on and a lot of money to be made, and that's where BetDSI comes in. They've been in business for over 20 years. They're one of the top-rated businesses on sportsbook review sites. You know they're reliable. You know you've been around for two decades paying out money. You know you can count on BetDSI. They got great mobile products. So you can bet anywhere you want. You pull out your phone. You're in the middle of the church. You're in the middle of work. Wherever you are, you can whip out the phone, head over to BetDSI, and place those bets. You can even do live in-game wagering, where you can make plays throughout the entire game and events. They make lines on not only sports, but pop culture, politics, anything where there's a winner and a loser. BetDSI will set a line so you can place a bet and make that money. Great customer service available 24/7, 365. And most importantly, with all these online sports books, BetDSI has a great reputation on fast payment of winnings. Right now, when you sign up, you get a free $25 play for registering. All you got to do is sign up. You get $25, put it on a long shot. Who knows how much you make? And even more importantly, use the promo code BARSTOOL200, and you get a 200% bonus on your first deposit. So if you're thinking about getting into the online betting game, go to BetDSI, load up on that first deposit as much as you can, and they're going to double it for you. It's BetDSI.com, promo code BARSTOOL200.
Zink!
Obviously some of the things that Big Poppy has done, where you're right, he literally single-handedly was winning championships. The reverse sweep was, he put that team on his back.
He won like every game.
What he was doing, what he did in their most recent World Series run. Because I remember I used to debate
the Tigers game. Red Sox the year he hit the tying home run. He
Grand Slam.
Yeah, he not only was winning games, he would tie them earlier in the game and then win them later.
Yeah, I remember I was
off like the greatest closer of all time.
This guy was a bad mamma jamma.
I used to argue who was the better postseason player, him or Beltran, and for a while there was you could make the argument, and then that most recent World Series run, it was just like, all right, enough.
He had like 800.
Yeah,
playoffs,
and he's just mashing home runs. Beltran used to always have I could always play the defensive angle too, but what he just continued to do at the plate. That's also go back to Jeter too. I know he wasn't a good shortstop, but people throw that around, and it's like, yeah, but when you're a fucking very clutch postseason hitter, am I going to really worry about your defensive range that much?
Was Jeter that clutch?
I mean, he's pretty clutch. I don't know off the top of my head situations like Ortiz. But I mean, he's Mr. November. He's hitting Jeffrey Mayer home runs when he first came up. He was an important postseason player. I think he has like the most postseason hits ever.
Well, he's been in a million games.
I know. I mean, again,
he played on teams.
You can't always separate though. It's like,
yeah, no, he played on. I mean, he's a great player. He's not the GOAT. Like people, he's not that. He's not the GOAT.
Who is the second best shortstop on his own team?
Who would I rather have what?
As your shortstop. A franchise shortstop. If you're putting together a dream team.
A-Rod.
No, A-Rod is such a bum, though,
as
a personality. I actually would worry about, the chemistry with a guy like A-Rod.
Okay,
believe it or not.
Fair.
Also, if I'm assembling my team, I think I would just throw him at third because you can, and then you still have your spot for shortstop. You know what I mean?
I mean, Nomar was better when he wasn't hurt. That's just a fact, but he didn't.
But that was for what, a year? You know what I mean?
relax. I'm trying to...
relax. The window, I don't accept the Nomar argument. I mean, he did not hold up. He didn't do it for nearly as long as Jeter. At his peak when he was on steroids, yes, Nomar was better.
I mean, I'm just going down and looking at, all time. I mean...
It's a weird position because it's, such a
it's
crown jewel, but it's, shortstop is the defensive position.
The position
and then,
has changed.
Right.
It used to be, Ozzie Smith, strictly, defense. Cal Ripken, probably another overrated guy just because he played in a bazillion games. Yep. Very good player.
So that's the thing is where, ordinarily...
But when people say GOAT, I think they were talking the best baseball player of all time. So that shortstop, I'm looking, let me put it this way, when it's all said and done, Francisco Lindor could be a better shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely am with you on that, but I think currently right now, if we're not just predicting what might happen, there's really not, again, the position changed. So ordinarily it used to be a defensive position, but if you're picking somebody for your dream team, at short.
Yeah, that's
fair. I don't know who else you're picking.
Yeah, okay, that's fine for the dream team, sure. But when you put a GOAT, Barry Larkin.
Who? Barry Larkin, Ozzie Smith, I'd take.
Well,
10
Ozzie
out of 10
Smith,
times.
Though, Ozzie Smith had to be like a 250 hitter.
Yeah,
max.
I mean, I'm not taking Ozzie Smith. Ozzie Smith is a good glove.
Ozzie Smith has a higher, I don't like this style that much. He has a higher career war than Derek Jeter because that's how shitty Derek Jeter was defensively.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I just.
Derek Jeter,
Barry Larkin was a legit player.
Yeah, no, I mean, these guys, I'm not saying
these guys
are bums.
Are we
but...
saying he's the best shortstop? He's in the discussion for that? Fine, but we're not saying.
No,
best, not at all.
I mean, people also throw around, they compare him to other great Yankees. They're, talking Gehrig and Ruth and then fucking Jeter in there. I'm like, relax.
Like, football, I mean, there's plenty of people who would say you're taking, I think, Brady, the first football player of all time.
Yeah, no, I think that there was a time where Jeter and Brady were a good comparison because Brady hadn't really, he hadn't put up 50 touchdown seasons yet. In the early going, it was just like he's that clutch dude who gets it done when it counts. Neither of them have the stats like an A-Rod does. And then obviously Brady just went on to do Brady things. But there was a time where I think Jeter and Brady were a good comparison.
The consensus was pretty much you take, I forgot his name, from North Carolina, Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah,
as far as best football player?
I've never even heard someone say Brady. Not that, I mean, it probably now is going to become more of a
LT's a fair, but I mean, Brady, I think quarterback is so by far the most important position in the field. Let me put
it
this way.
I think
if I'm starting
LT changed the game and all that. Yeah. There's different ways to argue it, but as far as, the way today's football is, the quarterback is.
If I'm starting, if I had to draft a shortstop and I know Jeter, you're getting his career, and I'm not saying the championships, you're getting the player you know he was And you have what you know now, Francisco Lindor. I'm taking Lindor 100 out of 100 times.
Yeah, and something different.
All right, so Dave, on Mother's Day yesterday, you posted an old clip that I had never seen from the newspaper. Your mother used to sell cakes to keep Barstool alive.
Right, we need to generate revenue. My mother, world-famous cake, the best cake. Now, basically, anybody who's ever had this cake will readily admit it's the best cake they've ever had in their lives. It's unbelievable. Before I started Barstool, I thought about buying a kiosk in a mall and selling it. There's a little back and forth on whether this cake can be reproduced in any oven other than my oven where I grew up in Swampscott.
What is a sour cream cake?
Sour cream is one of the ingredients. Why it's called sour cream cake is so just what it's
what
called.
What does it taste like? Is there icing and frosting on it?
No.
It's just
like
cake.
A pound cake?
Like a pound cake.
Like an angel food cake?
No.
Is there any... Can you give me any sort of comparison? Like is it like a muffin almost?
No.
No frosting, no icing, but it's not like a pound cake, not like an angel food cake. It's...
not really.
Is it round?
Square.
Can
we get my mom online? Maybe she's available to tell us.
Yeah, maybe she can describe the fucking
cake.
I don't
know.
Terrible. Or if Linda's not available, can we get Mike too? Because I'd like to hear him.
You think
my
dad could describe it?
I want to hear how bad he is at describing
it. My dad is world renowned. He's done it. It's like you think people don't do it, but my mom would make them for vents, and like he just eat it before they could get out. Like that led to like real fights consistently. Looks like my dad,
Mr. Portnoy.
Yeah.
So your son is poorly attempting to explain your wife's world-famous sour cream cake. The rest of the guys here don't really know what that means or how it tastes or what it looks like.
All right,
how does the sour cream, how does it work?
Let me get it.
I'm off.
Hello?
Ma.
Yeah?
I'm trying to describe, without giving, like, the ingredients, since it's a secret recipe, like, how would you describe the sour cream cake?
How do I describe it?
Yeah, yeah, like we don't understand what kind of cake it is, and Dave is not. We don't know what it tastes like. We don't know anything. I don't get it. Is it just sour cream? Tell me what's so good about it.
Well, sour cream is included. It makes it a little lighter. There's a little pudding in it, but it's light and it's got a lot of chocolate chips and a little sugary topping to it.
So it's like a chocolate flavor.
No.
No.
What's
no,
the
no.
the, pu- the
no.
pudding? The pudding is vanilla.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The vanilla pudding, but it's not, well, I think the best.
It's hard to describe.
David has it fresh. I don't know how to. It's a vanilla cake.
But
it's not as dense, like he says, because of the sour cream. It keeps it lighter.
We're thinking about maybe sending an intern driving up to you to pick a fresh one up and driving right back because we don't know how else we could get it here and still get to taste exactly how it should taste.
Well, do you want me to invite you all to the house to have some?
Yes.
We could do a live, Barstool Radio remote from your
Swampscott.
House. From Swampscott, and we'll just eat sour cream
that.
Cakes.
We'd have Kugel and
oh wow,
Mundel bread and sour cream cake. Yeah,
yeah.
It's hard to describe. Yeah. It really is.
And you think it's he was saying that the oven is a big part of it?
I don't know. I think this
I told you it's up for debate. I'm not making any of this up. There's a theory that the oven is very important.
It sounds like you've perfected this. I bet you can cook it in any oven. I don't think it's the oven. I think Dave is selling you short. I bet you could come to my house, use my oven, and cook a delicious sour cream cake.
I don't know.
I need the sour cream cake.
It's unbelievable.
I'm like, my mouth is watering right now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a big time cake.
Friends do like it. They do like it a lot. I mean, everybody, wherever I bring it, the next time I come to visit somebody, they say, oh, will you bring your sour cream cake? And it's not that difficult to make, but it's just...
Apparently it is. It sounds like it might
maybe,
be.
Maybe not difficult to make, impossible to replicate. That's basically what we're running into here. All right, Mom. Thanks.
All right. We tried.
I'm sure I helped quite a bit.
It's exactly what I said. It's not the easiest cake to describe. It's really not vanilla tasting, so it's not vanilla. I don't know what it is. Nobody knows. It's just like this
I think the name throws people for a loop, too.
It does. It's not
like,
a great name.
It should be called, like, the pudding cake or something like that.
Nah, not pudding. I wasn't going to lead when I got the kiosk with sour cream cake. We're going to rename it.
Yeah, because that sounds gross,
little marketing magic.
All right, we go to break. You want to call us up? Talk us about this mystery cake. It's Marshall Radio, Rush 93. You say that if you were not single now, you would just be back to fat gross, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Would you really?
Yeah.
You don't care about, like, just being fat here, like on camera, and you're out and about. You want to go down to, like, hang out with models and Sports Illustrated. You're the fat gross guy, all
don't
that
care.
Kind of shit.
Don't care.
I feel like, I mean, you might really not care to that extent. I mean, I really generally don't care what other people think, but when you reach a point where you're getting, like, gross, it's tough. Like, you don't want to look like Fat Dave again.
Don't care. Fat Dave. That, you know what Fat Dave
that gross
did?
Dave
Fat
was Dave, so gross.
Fat Dave was liking living. What he was eating.
He was living.
And outside of, like, this is crazy, but that's probably how God, like, sets up the world, where, like, you can't have everything. It's like, outside of getting girls is probably one, eating's two.
Yeah.
But
so
they
you
don't
can't
like
coexist. Together. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So you gotta do one or the other. Oh, I guess if you really work out hard, but that's the worst.
That's
so crazy. I'd rather just, like, starve myself.
Yeah, I hear you on that. The gym stinks.
Stinks.
But so does not eating for fun.
Eating
healthy
stinks. Eating is so, like, so fun. Cheese and, like.
Dude, that got the Stella Dora cookies in there right now. My logic is I'm going to eat all of them. Because there's one box left. I'm like, well, if I just eat this box, then they're all gone.
Yeah.
So then I won't be able to eat them
That's
anymore.
Why
so I'm going to eat them
Kit
all.
Kats that time.
You got to eat them, so then they're gone.
Club Dave's got to get back in the mix because not Club Dave's not doing Adderall, and he's getting hungry. And there's, like, some conversations happening, like, yo, I'm fucking hungry, dude. I don't want fucking carrot sticks all the time, and that's it. Like, get me some fucking food.
The best eating is just the
so,
best.
But Club Dave don't care about that. Club Dave's at the club till 4. He's on Adderall.
It's
he's
unbelievable. Like,
late.
Dude, chasing pussy makes the world go round. It's the only thing that motivates people to do anything.
Only thing.
In the long, like, you can break everything down to that. You want to make money because you need it for girls. You want to buy things because you need it for girls. You want to look good, it's for girls. It all comes back to that. And if you're not doing that,
then give me that food. Give me that food. Give
like,
me that clicker. Give me those fucking bet all day.
So
give
when you
that.
Were gross, Dave, though, in your brain, it was the same level of what is the same way you think now. Like, you were that disgusting and you were like, I look like Bradley Cooper, which is
I didn't think I looked as bad as I looked in that picture.
Right, but you did. That's my point, is that
but sometimes I look
it's
okay.
It's all in your head. Like, as long as you have that, like, internal confidence where it's like, yeah, whatever, I look like Bradley Cooper, just give me those fucking bagels and let's watch movies. Who cares what the rest of the world thinks?
Yeah, but I don't think, like,
you see that picture and you're like, oh,
I don't think I'm swimming in the same leagues that I'm swimming in now, that guy. I don't think.
I don't think so either. So. I think you have to have a lot more money to be that gross.
A lot more money.
Yeah, because you can be that disgusting. You just have to be loaded. You're, like, semi-loaded, and you now you're not disgusting.
I mean, dead honest, I didn't recognize the picture, even when I saw it as me, like, at first. I was like, who is that? So I don't think I look good.
Yeah, I tweet it out all the time.
You're doing it again?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It was for the radio. We got to give it out to our listeners. This is the gross Dave picture. It is jarring. It is
tough look.
I remember gasping. I remember I saw it on the rundown
for
the first
Googled
time. Oh,
just Google Dave Portnoy gross.
And it pops up, right?
That
there it
first
is.
Picture. First and second.
There
result.
It is.
It's not a good picture.
And you're talking to, like, what was probably your future girlfriend in the picture. It's just the whole thing is perfect.
What a... That was, that's such a cheap shot.
Why? I mean, the year's probably out.
Oh, I thought you meant specific. No, maybe I am. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that could be the girl you're taking out, like, tomorrow night.
Who knows?
The metamorphosis of Dave. He went from a fucking caterpillar to a butterfly, man.
It looks like you're taking, like, several Kit Kat bars from him. It looks like you're stealing candy.
I think he is. He gave her, like, $3 and stole all the fucking candy.
Unbelievable.
The gut, the hair, the pigeon toe. Oh, the clothes, all of it.
You're standing
human.
There is great, too.
Yeah, I mean, you are a different human, man. It's wild.
Listen.
It is really crazy what money can do for you, because that's all that is.
Well,
it's just money. It's money and the motivation of pussy. That's basically
it. I think I may have been underestimating cutting my own hair for a while.
That was the craziest thing about you, man. Out of all the things you used to say, when you'd be like, yeah, no, like, I cut my hair and I'm the best. The reason I don't get my hair cut anywhere else is because nobody can do it better than me. And I used to just look at them like, okay, Okie dokie, dude.
Cutting my
hair. You had the worst haircut in the world.
Cutting my hair has certainly added. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But that was not a good look, that photo.
No, that was a classic.
I'm like a confident guy in general. I don't even like girls now like that.
Knowing it exists.
Like, yeah. Whoa, like what's going on here?
That's why Hammy broke up with you. Cheated on you. Saw that picture and was like, that's it. Nobody, I can't be associated with anyone that can even potentially be that gross.
Hey. Okay. Oh, we'll see. I'm hoping, by the way, I'm watching. Oh, here we go. It's on my thing again. His pictures. I'll tell you this much. I'm following SI Swimsuit feed. It's on my Snapchat. And if she shows up on that, this place is going down in flames.
We'll leave it on that note. It's Barstool Radio, Rush 93. We'll see you tomorrow. We're back on Barstool Radio, full house today. Me, Caleb, Tyler, Coley, Mick, and Roan. Dave's out doing pizza reviews. We were talking NBA before the break. I want to talk about the Celtics Game 7 last night. We obviously got the lottery, but first, during the break, we were discussing the Noogie era, the Noogie man, Nate. For those who don't know, last week, Nate made an appearance on the Rundown. As he walked off the set, he casually gave a noogie to our boss, Dave Portnoy, who not only is the boss, but also just newly had hair plugs, and Nate decided to spider monkey him and give him a noogie. Dave, let's talk about this whole thing in general, because I don't think it's really been discussed. Dave really did not react at first. Me and Dan immediately were like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. I think Dave really would have just let it go.
It's like someone who gets stabbed in battle. But doesn't realize until they get back that they're, like, bleeding or something like that.
But for a company that's constantly, like, everybody's, like, secretly competing and secretly one-upping each other and trying to be the coolest, toughest, macho, alpha male bullshit, when you get noogied by someone, usually you know right away, like, oh, shit, I just got clowned. We had to tell Dave, like,
this is a
dude, that was embarrassing.
Environment.
Yeah.
It's a clowning atmosphere.
Right. I mean, if I noogied you, wouldn't you right away be like, oh, fuck, it's
I'm getting
on.
Clowned.
Yeah. Dave was very casual about it. Me and Dan, like, let him realize, like, you just got clowned by, like, the weirdest spider monkey at the company. Now the punishment, which is also just so disrespectful, and Dave keeps talking about how he has to punish him. I'm like, oh, God.
Punishment.
And so he's going to get noogied every single day, every single business day for a year. We were on Noogie 3, and Dave noogied so hard, he ripped the skin off his knuckles.
They were both bleeding. Both parties were bleeding.
On his bald spot, he has marks on it now, too. I mean, it was a solid 60-second noogie, which when you really count it out, 60 Mississippi of noogieing someone, that's aggressive all around. And the whole time, Nate, talk about being in battle and not, like, feeling anything. Nate was not feeling that noogie. All he was doing was just chirping. He was talking about his girlfriends. He was talking about his marital situation. He was talking about his friend situation. I mean, it was, like, it was aggressive. And, again, like you said, for a company that's in a clowning atmosphere, me and Dan were, like, cringing. Like, oh, I don't think you should be saying this shit, man. Like, I don't know where this is going to go for Nate. This is Spider Monkey
down
to the max, but
down is where it's gonna go for Nate.
That was day three. What he was saying,
I mean, we got 300 to go.
Some would say more.
I mean, and Dave's talking about the possibility of calling him to Nantucket. Like you have to get on a ferry, cross the fucking ocean, whatever, get to Nantucket. I'm gonna noogie you, and you got to go right back. I mean, that's punishment, man.
He's not gonna wine and dine him for a day, and then just give him a noogie. They're gonna hang out for a little bit.
That's it. Just a quick booty call, noogie call.
What if he took him to the restaurant, ordered appetizers, and then gave him noogie and made him leave?
Oh man,
you gotta
let
go
him
back.
Order. Be like, what do you want?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
Drinking?
Yeah.
Put in your entree.
Just let him eat like the whole meal, like nothing's wrong. But nah, man, it's water under the bridge. And when they leave, just noogie.
Yeah, listen, there's no such thing as water under the bridge, Dave Portnoy. You gotta know what's coming. I
didn't see this yesterday, but the way you just described it made me think that whenever there's a Barstool movie, which I do believe there will be a Barstool movie,
one day,
that will be a scene in the Barstool movie.
It has to be. I mean, it's
noogie,
the noogie era.
A bloody noogie?
Oh, it was. I mean, I looked at his knuckles. It was like when you have a blister, but then the blister pops. So you just have that like white skin that's like there's a hole in it, and it's just like floppy. That was Dave's
knuckles. So he popped a blister on Nate's head?
I think he got a blister and popped a blister all in one noogie.
That's a long
nibble. What the hell?
Which also means that it was like that blister water was all up in Nate's hair, probably.
Ugh. If Nate just keeps his mouth shut while he gets noogied, the scene in the Barstool movie looks way worse on Dave's part. Dave looks like the bully.
Right.
Dave looks like the asshole. Dave looks like the bad person. But Nate, like, talking that shit and, like, fueling Dave to noogie harder, it's like fucking picking the wrench.
He had the mic up to his mouth, and his head was shaking because he was getting noogied so hard, and he just wouldn't stop. It takes a lot for me to be on Dave's side. I don't think I'm ever on Dave's side, but I was kind of like...
You were on Dave's side in that?
I wasn't on his side, but I was kind of like, well, you're going to keep getting noogied, bro, because you won't shut the fuck up.
Oh, my God.
He's still, like, the thing... Day 366, he might be like, no noogies. He'd be like, yeah, but you fired anyway. it might still not work out for him at all.
And Dave, one of Dave's most, I don't know, maybe admirable, maybe stupid traits is he completely lacks the ability to fire people. But I could hear it in his voice and see it in his eyes. He'll fire Nate if Nate fucks around with this. Like, if he doesn't take his noogie medicine,
he's out of there.
I think he'll be out. I think he'll be fired.
Nah. I think he'll get fired, but he'll be back like 2 days
there
later.
There will be a termination of sorts for at least a temporary moment, though, where he's like, pack your bags.
It'll be like Franny Lyden when he made Hank like go home, and he was like, you can't come back until you admit it was you.
And then Hank just kept coming back. He just decided to show up.
Well,
anyway.
You don't remember that like real sad emotional video Hank
made? Yep. See, that's the thing is eventually, but I don't know if Nate has it in him because he's such a cock. I don't think he can get the sympathy vote.
Are the noogies going to be the end of Nate?
I told him this should be the beginning of Nate. You're the noogie man. This is your franchise, dude. Let's go. You always want to be on camera. You always talking about doing more. Turn this noogie thing into a whole song and dance.
Yes, the noogie man.
It is. I would never dream of. It's also tough look for Nate. He kept being like, as he's in the middle of like a full 60-second noogie, he's like, I own you, Dave. I own you. You're in my back pocket. I'm like, do you see what's going on?
You're getting noogie by the guy who pays you. And decides what your raise is going to be.
Your bum. Short of being wedgied, like, that is the furthest you could possibly be from owning someone.
Can you imagine sitting in that year-end meeting when he's about to tell you what your raise is, and Nate's like, oh, yeah. Like, I just talk shit to you every single day and tell you how much your life's a failure.
I think they have a weird camaraderie, though, between them. It's like...
There's something there, no doubt about it.
Nate, a couple weeks ago, said that Dave Sneaky loves him. That's how he put it to me. He was like, Dave Sneaky loves me.
Nate said that.
Yeah,
Nate is feeling himself.
Maybe this is the test.
Dave said that, though. Dave said he loves Nate. He said it on the radio.
Yeah, but he loves the character, like the... You know when you say like you don't want a girlfriend, you love the idea of a girlfriend. They don't love your girlfriend. That's Nate. That's Nate, Dave and Nate. He loves the idea of having this little spider monkey around. I don't think he wants to have to deal with him though. He wants him to spider with someone else.
Who else could get noogie? No one else is catching a noogie. No one else is just getting a.
Also, let me ask you this: what's worse than the noogie? Is it the noogie? What's worse, the noogie or him backing down from Octagon Bob? Octagon Bob made an official challenge: meet me in the Octagon. We were actually, I've never seen Mark, our video programming guy, he just like sprung into action. He was like, let's set this up. What's the date? Where are we going to do it? Nate officially backed down because the deal was if he beats Octagon Bob in the Octagon, he could get out of the noogie punishment. Nate has officially backed down.
Why?
He
had nothing to lose.
There was some real screaming. There was some real like that. There was some actual like people like pussy like calling like each other like him,
Nate,
Young
and
Page,
Bob
and Page Views were like, I don't know how they were getting into it back and forth. That was more intense than the noogie in conversation. Like they were really getting after each other.
You know when you like play fighting with your friends and then it turns like a little. It's like oh, that got a little too serious.
Too many,
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob was ready to throw hands.
It was
that would have been quite the fight. Combined weight of like 210, 220.
Nate can't. I mean, like no matter what happens though, Nate loses the
Yes,
net, you know what I mean.
Well, so, I mean, I straight up think Octagon Bob would beat Nate in a fight.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. And even if he beats him, like there's going to be people are going to just crush Nate no matter what. You know
what I mean, that's just the cross.
Those
that
injuries would
Nate
heal
bears.
Before 363 more days of noogie.
True story. Nothing would be worse though than like you got a black eye and a busted up nose and you're getting noogie.
Gotta feed him.
Walks in the building. How
Hop
are you,
on
sir?
In there, gang.
What's going on?
SVP just walked into the studio.
The bald butcher himself rolls in. How we doing, man? No, that's an affectionate thing. The bald butcher. It's not taking another shot. Yeah. You got.
Normally kind of came at me with bald.
Do
We're live on the air if you want to.
You want to pop in the mic here? So you guys just did a pizza review. Scott Van Pelt and Portnoy finally unite for a pizza review, and it sounds like he was taking shots.
Who started it? Who started it? Who started it?
Who started it?
I don't recall.
I do.
He made fun of our show.
I don't recall.
No.
He said something that we were only on the air for a week, our TV show. That was a cheap shot.
I said that.
He's 6'6", and I'm short.
I said,
that's accurate.
I took inventory. I wanted to see what happened in the back of the dome. I wanted to see what he did. I admire it. He got ahead of the curve, yep. Which I failed to do clearly. Then he hit me with like, boom, you're bald. Like I don't fucking know that. Am I allowed to cuss?
Yeah.
Well, sorry about that.
Whatever.
And then I just said, well, yeah, that's true. And your show was on for a week, and we're on tonight. So then,
we're live right now. It's serious.
Things could have dissolved.
Yeah, we're just serious,
Scott. Things could have dissolved at that point. I don't have one. I don't have one. Fair point. Boom. And I said this, and this is a fact. You are going to be whenever this thing really the golden ticket is bought. You'll be wealthy on an island, and I'm still going to be schlepping at work. And bald.
Let's keep the fingers crossed.
And bald.
I will say I'm going to apologize on the record. I said his pocket square looked like a sock. That was a low blow.
This is a proper gentleman's pocket square right here. So that was an affront to me as well.
Listen, I know Portnoy too. When he throws out an insult like that, like he was trying to cut you deep there.
Clearly,
he doesn't mess around.
It wasn't just a jab. I mean, at that point, gloves off, haymakers.
That was a haymaker.
But there's delicious pizza. Delicious.
Well, do you want to reveal what your score was, or do you want to save it for the video? Save it for the video.
John's of Times Square. So I've done John's of Bleecker. It's one of my favorite reviews, but they had a falling out. So they're very clear that they're separate now. So we got the other one. Times Square is a pit, though. It's the worst. I mean, he's staying in, like, I know Hell's Kitchen is Hell's Kitchen, but, like, Times Square is Hell's Kitchen.
Do I look as uncomfortable as I feel?
Yeah, you okay. too.
Like I'm all hunched over.
As somebody who's done a lot of radio, you could raise the microphone, one or the other.
But see, this thing, I don't know. It's all willy nilly. See, I felt like this thing was going to drop down.
Have you ever been on the radio?
I used to have a show, but now I don't. So you know, we're keeping score, and I lose on that one too. I'm sorry I interrupt.
No, it's certainly fine. Just pop a squat, man.
Yeah, you know what? I missed the mic. I missed the mic. Now Portnoy's
let it
leaving.
Rip. Yeah, now we don't need Portnoy. We don't need him at all. What's going on, pal?
We had the upfronts, though. They're this big thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, selling. Everyone's doing their bit, the advertising season.
Right, we were supposed to be a part of that, and I don't think we are.
With whom?
Well, I think in general, we always like, we want the new fronts, we want the upfronts, and instead we're sitting around eating pizza and Shake Shack and shooting the shit.
Yeah, but the things are good. I mean, look, I've and Dave knows this. I mean, from the beginnings, I've been a consumer of what you guys have done. And to see, and I've told him this, I've told Big Cat and PFT this, and I'll tell you guys this. What it's become is an amazing story.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story, sincerely. Like,
well,
no,
it means
all
a lot
BS
coming
aside.
From someone like you who's seen a lot in this biz.
Well, I guess. I mean, I appreciate you saying that, but you know one thing about me. I don't say a thing I don't mean. And mm-hmm. and it's what you guys do daily is incredibly hard to do, which is churn out content that's funny. That's really hard to do. And that's, to be honest, that's the part that I mean, we have an hour, but we're not trying to do funny every day. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so much of what I do is I'm a waiter. I mean, tonight we'll be on after the Spurs and the Warriors. So here's what happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like it's complicated.
You're selling yourself short, but I understand the difference you're trying to make. Yeah.
I can host a TV show. I know how to do that. But it's not on me to fill an hour.
Right.
On radio is much harder than television by a long shot. It's a blank canvas you have to fill with your personality and your opinion. That's much harder.
It's interesting you say that because I mean I feel like I'm just comfortable doing audio and radio and behind mm-hmm. a mic because when I'm on TV I think well the brief stint I had on TV I thought was much
it was a hell of a week though. Hey listen, I was leading the cheers and then those guys came up after the fact, and I think people get that, and I said it to the guys when they came up, there's room at the table for everybody, man. You
yep.
know what I mean?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
And to a point though, you guys start doing it every day and you start outrating our show, then it's like, you know, F those guys.
That's the problem.
It was cute until it wasn't. You know what I mean?
Take it easy. Yeah.
There was this cute little puppy dog, and now they're all grown up, and it's like then, you know, now all of a sudden I'm like knocking on the door being like, hey, can I be Barstool Dad? And you're like, get lost, old man. But it's
I don't
been
know about
a,
that.
Can guarantee you we won't say get lost.
I understand. That's kind. But it's just an incredible story that I mean it's just proof now that
content is absolutely the king.
Yeah, it is.
And
you can't, at some point, you can't. You can fake your traffic. You can fake your numbers. At some point, when it comes down to the goods and the content, it's either funny or it's not.
Correct. And you but that's the part that I was. I think I was. I didn't say it, but I was getting to that. I don't admire because it's so hard. Is that churn, that content, to come up with it constantly.
It's a bear.
And you got to be wired a certain way. You got to be wired in a way where you're thinking always about
how is this going to be?
Life is content. And that's hard. Like, I've chosen to keep my life kind of off the grid. And, like, Shay's going to grow up in front of the world. And that's
Shay's already got here comes Dave. The name Shay pops out, and here comes
Shay
Dave.
Shay deserves everything she gets.
That's
I think
her daughter paying for the sins of the father.
I don't know, a little bit. I mean, but you now this is tell me I'm wrong. Like you chosen to put her out there.
Yeah, no, so, probably not a good idea looking back on it.
Well, because now you can't pull the plug. Because the minute you're like, hey, where's the pictures? You know, and the minute that we are not seeing the adorable little daughter growing up, then people are going to be like, what's the story? So, but I don't know. I came by just because I wanted to see people, and I you know next thing I'm sitting down on the air. I don't even know like ESPN people could be. Man, what are you doing?
Well, I don't think our content quite overlaps. We were talking about man rompers.
Oh, I saw that.
Were you? Would you maybe?
Are you in?
No, I'm 6'6".
They'll make a big and tall one. They'll make a big and tall one.
Whoa, I'm 6'5". I've got several planned out already.
Do you?
Oh yeah.
All right. Well,
I'm thick too. You could probably pull it off way better.
Husky or like what? So did you, when you were little, you had to like.
The, oh God, the husky yeah, section? Yeah. No, that's a triggering word. Very triggering word. Yeah. I'm a triggered husky snowflake
romper.
Right now. Yeah,
that's a good. That should be could be your porn name. The husky, your husky
oh,
romper.
Oh, I like that.
Now I'm
wear that.
Now I'm taking the romper off in the video.
Oh yeah,
that's you a brand what? Right there.
By the way, Scott, have you seen this at ESPN? So if you notice, we have Shake Shack everywhere because our CFO screwed up payroll, so just nobody got paid. So this is way like, hey guys, we didn't pay you, but we'll get you some burgers. So now we're cool. Yeah, now
does that go on at the mothership?
not a lot, not mostly. So what's the fix here? I mean, because Shake Shack's a delicious burger, but I mean that ain't helping with.
Yeah,
well, we also got paid. We also got paid.
It was, it was 24 hours late, but it was, it is a win in the sense that we got some free burgers out of it. But it was a pretty tough, I'll tell you what, we learned a lot about the people in the office.
Yeah.
We didn't hit, the paycheck didn't hit, and it was like chaos. It was like everybody
fire festival.
Up. Like, yeah. That's exactly what people say.
How much have you talked about that? That's my favorite thing that's ever happened.
It was in the whole world. It was the best.
Chaos.
And they're doing it again. They said that the people that, they were like, yeah, I'd go again. I'd give them another crack at it.
Hey, Ja Rule. I mean, he puts asses in the seats.
Close personal friend.
Simple Ja Rule. Yeah.
There's no end to people's stupidity.
Yeah. No end. You cannot underestimate how stupid the world is.
I realize you guys, he performed for you. I see you guys are good friends and all.
Huge
but
Ja Rule guy.
Yeah, huh? we're big Ja Rule fans, but...
Drool
is his name. But you got to call it like it is. It was an L for Ja.
That was a tough one. I'm going to get out of this chair. Thank you, boys, for the
hospitality. Thank you, man. I appreciate you dropping by. We're going to go to break. When we come back, more Barstool Radio on Rush 93.
Whoosh!
Yeah. What's up? It's your boy KFC coming to you once again today on Wednesday. It's a little Saturday. It's me, my boy Roan, back in the building.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, Coley Mick, as always. Those Twitter thumbs are flying away. Coley, how many hours a day do you think you're on your phone?
Less since we moved to New York. Which is a problem. I hope Erica and Dave aren't listening.
don't say that out loud again.
But I mean, anywhere it's a disgusting amount. Probably
it's
like,
crazy.
Probably
right?
like eight like total hours.
Yeah, but you know what? That's life now, man. When people complain about people being on their phones too much, I'm like, shut up.
Shut up.
17. Get out of here. It's like when people used to complain about you watch too much TV. It's like, well, that's just how life goes.
That's what we do now.
I guess I also drink too much. Okay. Well, this is just how I survive.
And I hate the argument that, like, back in the day, like, people didn't, like, used to be different. Like, they didn't have TV and phones.
Exactly.
They would have been on phones. It's not like they were a more sophisticated brand of people.
I've always said that, man. You take these people, take some cavemen, and you bring them out to today, they're going to be like, I want to fuck with computers and internet and Netflix and phones because those are awesome. We, like, had to go for long walks and, like, look at nature because there wasn't fucking anything else to do.
There was nothing else. There were paintings. You had to paint a picture. We can just take a picture. You don't need to look at a painting.
That's what my man Lonzo Ball said. They went to Australia and went to the museums to look at stuff. Went to the zoo. He was like, I can just look at that shit on the internet.
He knows what it looks like. You just take a still photo. You look at it
Look at it, and boom. I know what a rhino looks like. I don't need to see it in real life. Team indoors for life. Air conditioning, television, Netflix, phones, internet. All that shit is awesome. You should not ever be ashamed of enjoying technology. I mean, it is a little weird, the modern day, like, I was reading an article on it. They call it the phenomenon they call alone together.
Mm.
You're both in your house. You're sitting on the same couch. TV's on, but you're really just both in your phones.
But is that new?
And also, is that bad? Like, yeah. I mean, I get it. Yes, I'm not sitting there, like, looking longingly, lovingly into my wife's eyes, talking to her about her feelings. But we're both together. You want to look at your Instagram page? I want to fuck around on Twitter. Let's just do what we like. We do it together. I think that's actually a new age romance, a new way to hang out, a new socialization. I don't think that's a bad thing.
And like, how soon do you want to be the couple that is sitting together at dinner and has nothing to talk about? That's like, do you not want to be on the phone? Do you want to just rush to get every conversation you've ever have had and can have out of the way right now?
Right.
You want to just dump it all out there? No.
You know, it's a funny phenomenon too. Like, there are times where I'm like, all right, I know I got to put in some time here. Like,
right.
My wife needs to talk to me, hear from me. So I put my phone away, and we both sit there and we chat.
Right.
You go through my day, I go through her day. We talk about something in pop culture. We chat, and then all of a sudden, like, one person will break. Like, a text will come through or an email will come through, and they grab their phone, and the second person right away is like, okay, all right. Now we're good. As long as you're on it, I'm on it. And then it just what's the Lost King song about put your phone down? It's a very true song. Everything they describe, like, you're in the dark room, and it's the blue light, and people's heads are buried in it. I get it all. It's all very spot on. I just think we should embrace it. Why don't you put that fucking phone down? You say his name three times, and he will appear. Caleb Presley joins the show. It was a good 15 minutes, but it was a little less sexy. It was a little less fun without CP.
So you guys just talked about how much you missed me the first 15 minutes of the show.
The whole time, it was just like, you know what? This show stinks without this guy.
Did it fit in 15 minutes, or do we need to keep it going?
We could keep it rolling, although it's a little weird that you're now here. You want to go back outside? We can talk about how much you're missing.
Listen, I missed the first 15 minutes. Did you tell him why?
I just said that you were filming something for Just a Tip.
For Just a Tip. So
break it down.
If you don't know, Just a Tip is my app idea that basically, if you want to tip somebody, but you don't have cash, this is a new way of tipping. If you go to a hotel and you want to tip the bellman, and it's kind of awkward because you don't have any cash because no one carries cash anymore, and you want to tip them.
Cash is for the birds.
Just a Tip. This is my app idea. So I went to TechCrunch in the city today, which is like the biggest. New York City TechCrunch is the biggest tech fest startup convention other than the same thing that happens on the West Coast in San Fran. So it's the second biggest one. I went today and
you're rocking your Just a Tip polo. You got your credentials on. It's all legit.
I went to talk to some potential investors, and let's just say, like, I don't know. I'm being honest. I don't know how much I should say and how much I shouldn't. It went swimmingly. People are interested.
So you think
it's not a stupid idea anymore?
Right. This started as kind of no. This started as,
never was a stupid idea.
The idea was always good. And then I think I'll maybe speak for you here. I think you thought, like, I'm gonna make some funny videos out of this. It's kind of a quirky idea, and now it's becoming real.
I mean, I never said it wasn't real.
Yo.
But it just got realer.
Shit's real, real, son.
You have to say whose business card you just got.
I can't. I don't know if I'm supposed to. I'll tell you.
Let's
guys
just
if
say
I'm supposed
it was
to.
Someone in the movie, the social media. What was it called?
The social network.
It was someone
it's
from
real,
that film.
It's a very important person.
And I think it's actually the uncle from someone from that film.
This person was introducing me to other people who he thought could also help us.
Us. Oh, it's an us
forward.
Thing. Not a youth.
Me and you, Caleb.
You're being generous here.
Young and happy, you mean.
Of course, Barca Radio. Barca Radio is all cut
but
in.
But yo, so like, if this app, like, let's just dare to dream big real quick. If Just a Tip becomes an app where you can.
Can I tell you what the guy said to me? He said, $1 billion idea.
The B word. You were big baller status.
I could buy big baller stuff after this. He said multi-million to $1 billion.
Are you worried about him maybe just stealing your idea right now? Because that's always my thing about you go to these like conventions.
I don't think he can. Like it's on. I mean,
I think he could.
Caleb has a dot technology, Kevin.
That's true.
He asked me. He said, do you have a website for this yet? I said, just a tip.technology. He said, why is it not .com? I said, because dot technology is easier to remember. He's like, we're changing to .com right now. And he literally had to change the .com just then. He had a little guy.
So he bought the domain name. Yeah. He's already stealing it.
He just stole your shit.
And they're trademarking it when I was sitting there.
Caleb, you no! He's stealing right in front of you.
No, but...
No,
yes!
No, stole my... No. He trademarked...
It was us. Why would he give me the card afterward? He's like, yo, we're going to meet later this week. He said the next 2 weeks, Just a Tip could be very available for real purchase online.
For his pockets.
Damn.
I don't care. As long as it's our pockets. It's not going to be just his pockets. I
mean, yes, have you ever seen The Social Network? This is what happened in Facebook, man.
Listen, this is
you
the
had
difference.
The idea, and it's Eduardo came in and bankrolled
my
idea. And
this is very clearly my idea. I already have multiple videos. I have videos of getting investors and videos getting more investors. I've explained exactly what it is. I
so
have
you could protect the IP, you think? You
I
think
can easily protect the IP here, and I think he knows that. I think
I
if he
hope
could
so.
Steal it, he
I'm
would.
Nervous
he's savvy
now.
Enough to steal
Damn.
It. There's no way he's could steal from
like
me.
He
also,
could just
I'm
make an app called like he could make an app called like Tip Top right now and just be like, oh
yeah,
no, it's not
Tip
just
Top
tip.
Shape.
Nah.
Tip Top.
I think that he's it's a us thing, it's a we thing, it's our thing. We were using inclusive language the entire time. Just the Tip is taking off.
So can you go to Just the
if
Tip?
If I become a billionaire,
right
I promise you that you guys never have to work again.
So
I
yeah, can we do like
I promise.
Well, you know, I offered you $1 million. When I was gonna get
okay,
rich,
so look, a million
but
for
if you.
You
but if you get a billion, I gotta get like 10 million because I was never in the $1 billion range.
If I okay, so
if you get a
billion,
just a tip can
is I a billion-dollar idea. That doesn't mean I'll be a billionaire,
right? But you're still talking bigger money than I have with Barstool, so I gotta get more than $1 million, just proportionally speaking. Can I get like 2.5?
Listen, man, everyone here will be well taken care of. But
that's my man.
It's all honestly gonna come down to we.
To whether this guy stole it from you or not.
No, to, is this a good product? Is this a product that people
Facebook
can use?
Facebook was a billion-dollar idea, and the guys who invented it got like 60 mil.
That's,
would you
I
be happy
be,
with
oh,
60 mil?
I told John Kelly in the car A-okay. Who filmed, I said, if this gets me a free lunch and I can get a beer as well, I'll be so happy.
Yeah, but yo, when this
Maybe
guy
cut
has...
That. Cut that, Frankie.
when this
yeah,
guy
like
has...
Kramer when he accepts the free coffee. Yeah, no, we need more than just a free lunch and a beer, bro.
He's going to be on the good boat, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm happy with my $60 million on your shit boat. And you're going to be like, why am I not on the good boat? It's going to be all right until you can't get into the fucking table that he's at the fucking club.
I don't care. Listen, first of all, this guy, I'll never be at the same table as him.
With
so,
this idea?
So
I'm thinking like that.
Yo, bro, you are the owner of Just the Tip dot technology. You got to start thinking bigger.
That's And we're getting the .com. And I mean, the thing was is the .com was already taken, and he was like, I'll figure it out. I know how to get this.
Yeah, what he's going to do is pay for it and then own it.
Yeah, I know how to get this.
You got to get a lawyer on the line
Money.
Right now, bro.
It's an app idea.
Are there any lawyers out there listening?
Mike Portnoy.
Yeah, we could maybe get Mike Portnoy.
Can we get Mike Portnoy on the line?
Can we do that? Okay.
Does he know about
yeah,
this
but well, you know, probably not, but let's find out.
Some kind of intellectual
feel,
property lawyer.
I will
lawyer.
Say this. I don't think that he stole my idea. I did feel a little taken aback when there was probably 6 people surrounding me, and they're all. And he was introducing me to everybody, like, "Yo, this is Caleb." And
was there a camera?
There was a guy, not for this part.
No.
This was not a camera.
No.
There was a guy asking me about the how it works specifically. Like, is it Bitcoin or is it blah 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 blah? These words I didn't know.
What'd
and
you say?
Like, I'm like, listen, man,
it's still in beta.
Still
beta.
Yeah, you gotta throw beta at him.
It's still in
gotta
beta.
Beta.
I love it. That's a great
it's
line.
Incubation
do
phase
you,
right now.
Do you have an idea of how it would work though? Like, so say I'm a bellman. Right? Bellhop, whatever. And I want to be...
You're in the service industry. You have Just the Tip
okay.
on your phone.
I have it, and you have it, and you can just connect with
what's
me.
What's your
like,
Just the Tip? Like, you just say, what's your Just the Tip?
What's your tip?
And, right. What's your tip? So, at, you could be at
can
whatever.
Can I give you
like,
the tip?
Like Twitter. Of course. And you would just Venmo, you kind
of course.
Like
it's
click and send it.
It's a specialized Venmo, and I told the guy, I was like, you know, it's kind of like Venmo. And he's like, you don't understand the value of having it specifically marketed for
yeah.
one thing.
Absolutely.
He's like, people who don't have Venmo will download Just the Tip. Who are in the service industry because they want to get their tips. He said also people who don't have it, all you got to do is ping. Like, you can send it to them. Like, what's
ping's
email?
Another good word.
And you can ping them. Mm-hmm. I learned
buzzword.
That at TechCrunch.
Yep. Like the QR codes, too? Like,
yep.
you can scan
and
it. Like
show
the,
up
yeah.
on their phone and be like, you have $20 in your wallet on Just a Tip. Set up your account to redeem.
Yeah. I think it'll okay. be, it'll get to a point where you can just, I could, like, touch your phone. Boop.
Right.
Boom. Just transfer
yeah,
it right
stop
in.
Stop talking about it, actually.
I mean, if you
that's
listen to Barstool Radio,
that's an idea.
If you listen to Barstool Radio, you're part of the idea. You're part of the come up. Like, you know, I hope one of you guys, all of you can eventually be owners, part owners.
This is no scam, though. This is a solid,
this
solid
is a
idea.
Good idea.
I mean, I'm going to eventually have to cut in. I'm going to cut in Barstool Radio.
Can you
period.
Cut out
I can't cut
Dave
up, no,
Portnoy
I'm going to cut in Dave because I can't cut it in the whole office, you know, in money-wise.
How about
because,
we just cut in This right here.
Keep it right
the
here.
People who
That's
were
what I'm saying.
Here.
Frankie and the booth.
Yeah, when
maybe
when,
throw some
when Just the Tip took off.
Peace
this
for
is
the
it.
Big hater. All
Sorry, along. Dave, you weren't.
Andrew in the office. Andrew's
yeah,
looking
Andrew
at
be
Andrew could be a part of Barstool Radio. You're cut in.
But again,
tech minus savvy. He could have helped from the ground floor, and he's tech savvy enough that he could have done something.
Well, right now, I think it just I'm worried now more than I was that my idea might not be mine anymore.
I'll fight this guy for you, no problem, Caleb.
We could, maybe we could just beat him up.
No, and no,
oh, could
definitely
beat him,
beat him up.
I'm not saying that this is the best thing that could happen to us, but it's not the worst thing if we reach a settlement with this guy. This guy, that I can't say his name right now because I'm not sure if he'd want me blasting it, he knows so much more and is so much more in that world. I could never go toe-to-toe with him. This is not Winklevoss versus Zuckerberg. This is David versus Goliath.
Right.
And
you can't compete.
That was a bad comparison
David
because
won.
David
no,
won.
David
that,
won.
That was not what I was
exactly
trying to go for.
It's David versus Goliath.
I'm just saying,
go,
that, listen,
boy.
I hope that this guy is a part of the team. He's more than welcome to take some of the money. You guys are more than welcome to have some of the money if you guys help me. And you guys want to service the service industry. And that's what this is about.
Ooh,
it's about
like
other people.
Service
so,
the service industry.
You know what?
Stop giving away these ideas, Caleb.
Sorry.
Go to break, Kevin.
Yeah, we actually,
go to break.
We actually are going to break. If there are any lawyers out there or any IP people, intellectual property people who want to know about that, call us up.
Probably
us know.
Someone on the Barstool Radio probably owns it now.
Let us know if Caleb still owns his idea. Barstool Radio on Rush 93. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here, nigga. Started from the bottom, now we here. You know, well, I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio, oh, oh, oh. Second hour here at Barstool Radio. We come in with a little chicken fried. This is your boys, Dave. You were 2 feet away from last night.
I was in his grill mix.
Where?
It was a place called Cipriani.
Very good restaurant.
No, but it was a different one. This is like
a
functional.
At a restaurant?
In, it was like a wedding hall type function hall. In it was right near Wall Street. So it was some like Jewish humanitarian award. It didn't really have anything to do with like some Jewish organization gives out a humanitarian award, and they gave
that's why I didn't get the invite.
No, I don't think it had anything to do with that. So they gave it to the award recipient was the CEO of AT&T, and Peter Chernin was in town, and he gave a little speech. This room had some heavy hitters in it. I mean, my table, I was sitting, the guy next to me is worth $40 billion to my right. Peter Chernin.
By the way, 40 is like
40 is like one of the rich people in the world.
Like you yeah. are
oh, no,
probably
was,
like top five richest person in the world.
He was literally casually talking like we were shooting the shit on whether you know he should buy
for president.
Team.
Yeah,
I mean, buddies with like crap. This is the real fucking deal. I did a snap just to see if people could figure out who's at the table. Jesse Jacobs from Chernin was there. I went with Erica.
Do you ever think like?
I had no idea what it was. I knew something was a little different. It's like, oh, by the way, so, I mean, the rumors with Peter are that he negotiated, like, the AT&T Time Warner deal. Like, that was our guy. Chernin, like, made that happen. So he's in there, and they were talking about the merger.
We know he negotiates good deals for himself because he's
right.
fucking robbed you.
Right, yep. And so they had those. It opened, like, Conan O'Brien, like, hosted it. So he did, like, a whole stand-up
oh,
routine.
Oh, wow.
And again, I was like in fucking, we were so close to the stage and it's one of those weird events. Like I wasn't paying attention. I didn't even look at the, like the order of events or the program. And then someone's like, Zach Brown's coming on. I'm like, wait, what? Because I love Zach Brown. I mean, I love Zach Brown. It's my favorite country band. Love him. And it was the full band. And I mean, people were barely paying attention. They sounded fucking awesome. Jesse Jacobs, our guy's like, I bet you could get Zach Brown for like 10 grand. Like, dude, what planet are you?
No way,
no chance. Now
I've seen him in a like a Coliseum.
No, he sells out. He's
they're major. They are major,
major. Yeah. Number one, probably country. I mean, everything. Now who knows? Because there were rumors back in it because like iHeartMedia is there and AT&T. Here's the thing: AT&T is like one of the biggest advertisers in the world for other. They don't spend dick with us yet. But they do with everybody else. So, like, the NBA was there. Like, iHeartMedia is there. Like, fucking, you name it, you had a table there. Like, you had to. You have no choice. If you have any respect for your ad dollars in AT&T, you bought a table and you donated. And they kept saying donated. And I'm just, they're like, hey, fill this out. And I'm just looking at my $40 billion man. It's like, I ain't donated shit. Like, I ain't donated.
Drinks on you, man.
Shit.
Donations on you, pal.
Whoosh. I got to get rolling here soon. I just got hooked up with courtside seats.
Do it up, man.
It's like pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not courtside? Bad at all.
Courtside.
Are you going to heckle LeBron?
Yeah, I assume. Yeah.
Is that the
What are you going to go and just be like polite and hang out?
A little mouse? Listen, a lot of people say that. What happened to your eye? You got a little scratch there. Get someone scratch you in the eye?
Nothing I know of.
So I think it's like a scar over above his eye.
Yeah.
His eye? You got a scar on your head?
Yeah, I got a scar. I've always had it.
It's not like
that's
a scratch.
That's
always
been there?
Yeah.
First since I've known you?
Chick stick scars.
Because I've been like 6 years old, 7 years old.
Huh.
Who are you going to take with you? Gaz, are you going to film you?
Frankie Borelli?
No, I don't know. I was going to try to go with buddies from home. Gaz is trying to angle
you
for
you don't have any friends. Come on.
What?
Poly playoffs. You got to bring
go
Poly playoffs.
It's like you guys, though. They got to get the babysitter, and it's like, it's like all my friends at home have kids and family. They're normal 40-year-olds.
Wait, so you're going to miss the Barstool basketball game?
Wait, don't you need someone to be filming you and shit? Which I know they can do, but I feel like you need one of our guys to document this.
Should be Poly playoffs. This is the time of year. It's time
to
shine.
Fuck Poly playoffs. Take Frankie Borelli with you.
Frankie has no appreciation for it, I don't think.
Frankie, do you have appreciation for this?
The Celtics.
Courtside seats in our playoff game. See LeBron James with the Celtics.
All right. I do have to go.
All right. We got
to
go break anyway.
I'm
going to
get Roan back in here.
Go ahead, Dave. Enjoy it. Fucking
take Tyler.
The rich get richer.
Take Tyler.
Barstool Radio, Rush 93. Your girl Giselle Coley spilled the beans, as we speak about spilling the beans, that Tom Brady had multiple concussions last year. Frankie, roll the clip.
Your husband said the other day that you wanted him to retire. He said that, not me.
You know, the thing is,
He was going to play as long as he felt as good as he does now. Yes. Are you trying to get him to retire?
You know, I just have to say, as a wife, I'm a little bit, you know, it's, as you know, it's not the most like, let's say, an aggressive sport, right? Football, like he had a concussion last year. I mean, he has concussions pretty much. I mean, we don't talk about, but he does have concussions. And I don't really think it's a healthy thing for your body to go through like a, you know, through that kind of aggression, like all the time. That could not be healthy for you, right? And I'm planning on having him be healthy and do a lot of fun things when we're like 100, I hope.
Toss. Whoops. You can hear it, like, we don't talk about those things.
Supposed to say that.
Well, guess what? You're talking about it right now. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. I think anybody who plays football has concussions.
If you play quarterback in the National Football League, not only do you get concussions, you have had concussions.
Right.
You get there. I mean, like, before you got to the NFL, you had concussions.
And you're going to have them. You're going to get more of them. It's just going to happen. So it's not like breaking news, but...
But kind of breaking news, Tom Brady's brain is mush and Bill Belichick is holding him up with a stick and parading him out there against his and his wife's will.
That's what Roan said.
Just saying.
Roan said it. Giselle Bundchen being held hostage by Bill Belichick.
He's just getting wheeled out there just as an incontinent Terry Schiavo who can barely fucking make his own decisions
Preach.
For himself.
Preach.
Good thing he can sling a little bit of a football. Preach. He'll never remember a second of it.
Expose them.
It's tough out here for Tom Brady because he has no idea what's going on in his own life. And his wife is just trying to lobby for Bob Kraft and the Patriots organization
Think
to
of
set
the kids.
Him free.
Think
he
of
has
the kids.
Children. He has the man has a family.
This is a big baller move by Giselle.
You think so?
Yeah, I know
to expose it
to come out and say that in the face of Robert Kraft and in the face of Bill Belichick, who are definitely
they
watching.
Can't be happy.
They can't be happy.
Well, I mean, the biggest flaw in all of your arguments, Roger Goodell's already said concussions aren't real.
They don't exist.
I mean, it's tough to say.
Marijuana is addictive. Concussions.
But who does he work for? The owners. Bob Kraft. Bob Kraft is his boss. It's obviously coming down from above. It makes 100% sense that Goodell would orchestrate all this Deflategate so they would be inspired enough to make it back to the Super Bowl. He would sweep all this concussion stuff under the rug so Bob Kraft and the Patriots and everyone could feel good about playing Tom Brady. It goes to so many levels, and
despicable.
It disgusts me.
It goes deep.
Tom Brady's been on the injury report every week for his career.
Okay, exactly.
So it's been well documented.
Well, I don't think the concussions have been well documented. I think it's a big cover up.
No one said anything about him drooling.
They didn't say anything about that he's slack-jawed now and can't control his own bowels.
You leave his jaw alone, you know, it's perfectly chiseled.
I mean, it's just, I'm just saying, it's going to be sad when we see Tom Brady in his later years.
Like
Ted
Williams.
Now we know why. Now we know why.
It's wheeled out.
Yeah, I mean,
sad, man.
And it could have all been avoided if it wasn't for the Patriots and their ways.
At least Giselle won't need a new vibrator because her husband will just be shaking like Muhammad Ali when he gets
Holy
to his old age.
Moly.
Wow. little parking.
Think about that.
Damn.
Yeah, why don't you think about that?
God.
Now, I mean,
damn.
Now you really put it in quite the perspective.
Damn. Oh, right.
Damn.
The hottest of dams.
Yo.
It had to be said.
Yeah, it had to.
I'm just saying what everyone else was thinking.
There's elephant in
Tom
the room.
Brady's going to be a vibrator.
I mean, this is great. Like, Brady's people have just reached out to Barstool to do stuff with us, and now he's fucking Michael J. Fox.
Of course his people reached out. What, is he going to reach out himself?
No, he can
barely lift his arms.
I'll tell you what, he reached out because he knows he needs a second career because exactly. His clock is ticking.
Probably
out for help, bro.
Hell of a Yahtzee play.
Yo, it's not going to be long before they have to replace Brady. Like they talked to Levine's people, like, how'd y'all do it? We got to replace this guy. Can't even make reads on third down.
Pray, I mean, if anything, out there. How we even won, like, he, no wonder, like, Edelman had to dive for that, and Brady's thrown into triple coverage. You didn't even see him out there.
He didn't even know what was going on.
Pick six makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, and something different. Barstool Radio, it is Thursday, May 18th. We are back for a second hour. We're about to get into it. I am Roan. I'm right here with Coley Mick. Tyler's in the building. I'm here with Caleb. We are deep in here right now. Actually, I have two starters from the Barstool basketball squad. Actually, one starter because Caleb was a little bit late to the game, but I can't begrudge him because I'm the coach myself, and I was a little bit late to the game. We had a tough loss yesterday, but I think that we're galvanizing as a team. We're about to get into it with some Barstool basketball talk. It's 646-627-8450. The game was streamed last night, so we talked a lot of shit.
Yo, I got
people
get
got to see
chest.
It. People
I gotta
got
get
to
something
see
on my
shit.
Chest, bro.
Okay.
And I don't want this to come off in the wrong way, because I got a lot of love for Barstool Radio. I have a lot of love for everyone who's on Barstool Radio, whether you're just filling in one time, whether you're every day, whether you're Dave, whether you're the social media guy. Coley Mick, props to you. Won't throw a regular. If you're open, like if you're going for a layup and you're open,
yeah.
But it's going to be hard for Coley to get the no look off. You might not get the ball.
He's a no look guy exclusively.
But if you're like not really that open, but there's a good lane for him to throw behind the back, like looking the other way over the head between his legs, you're going to get that rock.
Maybe he has a hitch in his pass or something like that where he can't make the straight pass like Charles Barkley with the golf club.
It's literally like mixtape. Like it's like he's trying to make an and-one mixtape.
I got you, Caleb. More no-look passes.
Just saying, stop turning the ball over.
I mean, what are you?
I'm turning the ball over?
Yes.
That's the problem with those teams? I'm turning the ball over?
I mean, we got to talk to the guys who are in here. No one else playing. Who do you want me to talk to? You want me to talk to Coach Fran about what she's doing
should
wrong?
Should we get I'm Coach Nate in here, too? Because
Coach Nate's doing negative energy on the sideline.
Coach Nate.
I walked into a bad situation last night. I walked in, and we were down 20, and that's a scoreboard issue. But I walked into a volatile sideline situation, and leaders like Barstool Radio guys got to step up, and you were there. I mean, and you got to step up. And, Roan, I'm looking at you, too.
Hey, listen, I'm there to step up. And if you look at the second half score, we won the second half. So I feel like I came a little bit late, but as soon as I got there, things turned around. But I'll step up in my stepping up and say that I need to step up even more.
And I got to agree with Roan. I got there second half, and I think they had
six total players. I think I guarded four of them. And that was something you've called me out on in the back. Yeah, one of them froze me in time.
51
I got shook by
fucking incredible.
That 19-year-old me.
Did no one else think they do look like Paul Giamatti from Billions?
I've never seen it.
I think Paul Giamatti's a little bit shorter.
He didn't have a handle.
I mean,
like
that guy was like 6'5".
The guy did have a little bit.
Coach Fran, we got any thoughts from you?
Yeah. Yesterday was very disorganized. That's
Who's that fall on?
Us, all of us. Probably me. Roan got stuck in an elevator. that's for true. The game. So that was kind of unfortunate to
that's tough.
Roll up kind of after the game started.
But that's, again, not
that's,
on me.
That's the elevator got stuck. That's
we're
going to
blame the elevator.
That's so we kind of had like the bad juju going into the game. So I'll just blame that.
There was a little bit of negativity. There was a little bit of negativity coming from Nate on the sideline. We have Big Cat storming into the studio.
And Nate.
And we have Nate coming into the studio.
What's this about Caleb and Coley fighting now? We need to stay as a team. We stink as a team. There should be no finger pointing when we're 0-4.
0-5.
Well, how are we going to figure out the problems and fix the problems if there's no finger pointing?
All right, you want a finger point. You were late. You can't finger point if you were late.
Doing business stuff, and you're the first one to understand that.
True, but you need to be there on time. Hey, listen, I think we just, as a team, I said it after last night, I don't think anyone's bad, just as a team we suck.
Just no one's good.
Doesn't really make sense in my head, but it, like, right, part. Right, exactly. Like, if we practice maybe once
a week,
every 3 weeks, yeah, because the problem is we forget, and I think the people on Twitter that watch it forget.
How big of a room do people just keep walking into
the
room?
Smitty's in the room.
We're a bunch of late 20s, early 30s, you know, bloggers who don't touch basketball except for one time a week at the game we're playing, and our shooting shows that. So I don't think we should point fingers. Now, Nate's bad attitude, yeah, that's fair. Now I'm going to leave the room.
We had like
and also we had a significant injury to Hank. We got to talk about
yes,
that too.
Hey,
at the buzzer, at the buzzer,
I probably didn't help getting a technical and getting in the ref's face. But you know what? That
and,
also he was a bad ref.
Well, we
had Nate's we had Roan's positivity and Nate's negativity. And there was like three coaches.
So
there was three coaches at one time. That we gotta figure that
who's
out
saying
too.
Saying I'm negative.
Big
Cat, yeah, Big Cat. Every week, do you intend on trying to fight one player on every team?
Yes,
okay.
Probably.
Okay, because as long as we know that heading in.
Well,
he's always going to be the scariest guy that's going to be hard for us to back up. Like, I want to back you up if you're going to pick like the 6'8 huge dude.
But that's the whole point. We can't get a lot of respect for our game, so we got to get some
gotta
respect
earn.
By
got
just
it.
Talking shit and being like, do something about it. And got I it. Think that's the only like until we can start winning games, I'm going to keep trying to fight the biggest guy on their team so that people at least respect us.
So we're like the new prisoners in the
right. Like we got nothing. So at least we have a little bit of pride. We're like, shut up. Like you can't punk us in other things besides basketball.
See, I was gonna say go the other way. You punk the smallest person, get that win, and work your way up. Baby steps.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, the refs and the biggest guy on the other team always have like a crosshair in mind. It's
yeah,
like
those
so I like black out. And I'm just like, fuck these guys.
This dude was so he was like 6'8" and so muscular, and Big Cat was going at him, and then at the foul line, the guy was like shooting shots. He's like, yeah, okay, we're gonna see, we're gonna see.
Yeah.
And Big Cat's like, what do you mean we're gonna see? What are we gonna see? And I was like, Big Cat, bro, just chill.
He went full Canada boy. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
He also just every time he came in the post, I just literally my defense was just to lean on him with all my weight, and so I think he didn't like that either.
Whoosh.
Hey,
Kevin.
I'm back.
Welcome, Kevin.
I was walking outside. It's hotter than the devil's dick out there. And I was ready to come into like a cool office, and I walk in the studio. There's 60 people in here. Everybody's screaming. It's hotter in here than it is out there. To say that there's dissension within Team Barstool is a gross understatement. I mean,
say what you just said, Nate.
Say
what you just
again.
Said.
So, Nate, you were
say what you were saying
Nate,
before.
You were promoted to first coach last night.
Well, so
no,
no. Fran's the coach.
Okay.
Roan's the assistant coach. He showed up.
Oh, you were like our beat reporter.
No. No, Dave hired me back on as coach.
What okay. was Nate? What was Roan doing?
Showing up late, doing stand-up comedy. On
doing,
the, so the ref, call,
comedy.
The ref calls a foul on us. He goes, sir, that was not a foul, sir. The ref calls a foul on the other team. He goes, sir, that was not a foul, sir. That was not a, my bad. So he does not know what's happening on the court. He's there for the camera.
That's tough.
He's there for the camera 100% and to do stand-up comedy. He's not there to coach. Me and Fran were doing a good job as co-coaches there.
I'm just saying, I'm there to make our squad feel good, and I'm there to make the other squad feel bad. I want us to feel like we're a unit. We're all together. When my guy's shooting, I want my guy to feel good about his shot. When the other guy is shooting, I want him to feel humiliated about his shot.
So
I think you accomplished that, by the way.
I think Rome I was
does
doing
that. I'm never seeing so many air ball free throws.
I'm in that ass. Big Cat will get the ball like at half court, and Rome be like, "Take your shot. Why not? Take that." It's like Rome, that's
but,
not.
But why
a shot
not?
To
like at this point with this team, like why?
We're
not
having
can
Big
I,
Cat.
Can
Cat.
Come out.
Can, oh wow, wow!
You're,
can
you're
I come out?
Pandering so
hey,
hard.
Let
right
me
now.
Paint the picture right now.
So
Fran, she's fed up. Fran
she
is
should
fed
be.
Up.
Fed up. Fran, did you ever come to last game?
Wow.
Oh,
talk
about
that.
Talk
about
that.
You know what? I'm just going to bypass that. Roan is a good coach.
He's a good coach. It's a good coach.
Roan is motivating. I'm saying Roan came late. Okay, so we got off to a slow start. We got up. Roan talks to the guys at halftime. He said, we're going to win the second half. We won the second half.
Also, Roan texted me ahead of time and gave us some good words, told us what we needed to do. We had to stall out the refs, maybe tie their shoes together so he could get there in time. So, Roan, I mean, when Nate showed up late, he just waltzed in. Fucking game was, like, clocking down.
You were late.
What?
You were late?
Week one.
Week one. You were late to the first game, yeah.
First game.
How can you be a coach and be late?
No, no.
Oh, damn.
I mean, listen, that's two out of three right now.
Listen, let me just tell you something. As an outsider looking in, this team has been doomed from the jump. Plus, you guys were set up for failure from the jump.
Well, put in a bunch of bloggers who haven't played basketball. On
well,
that,
this is
that,
why
that,
you're
course.
Not a good coach. You're always throwing the players under the bus. Roan is
well,
picking us up.
I mean, that's not any sort of like new discovery.
Trill, how was you were doing play by play last night? Yeah. Well, what was your vibe of this team?
Very much so a second half team. Okay. Very much
Let's
so.
Start.
Slow starters. Bad finish. Sending prayers out to Hank. Hoping he's well.
Yeah, Hennessy got injured on the final whistle sound.
No.
He hit a layup. Him, Caleb, and Big Cat somehow all collided on a 3-on-1 fast
break. You don't ever
want to
collide with Big Cat.
And I had to carry him off the court.
That's the last guy you own. Oh, no,
I had to carry him
bad,
off the court. His ankle was the size of a grapefruit.
He said today, I texted him, said, how are you feeling? He said, high ankle sprain, but he's Gucci. So
okay.
So I think,
as long as he's Gucci.
He's Lumi.
Yeah. So I think he'll be okay.
They're playing bad.
Around the world, to the beach, y'all. Let's go. All around the world, y'all know this is so.
All right, we're back here as the Barstool basketball team dissension continues. Before the break, I asked who we can cut from the team to, you know, do a little addition by subtraction. Smitty immediately yelled out Dave. Well, we got Dave on the line here. So let's bring El Presidente into the mix here. He's up in Boston. He wants to talk Barstool basketball and Celtics basketball. This team is a mess, Dave. It's an unmitigated disaster. It's New York Knicks style status. What do you got on Barstool basketball?
Well, I mean, I got to be honest. I was calling to talk about the Celtics and me getting in LeBron's kitchen. I'm kind of stunned to hear that Smitty would remove me. I haven't been there the last two games, and it sounds like it's been an absolute clusterfuck. So I don't know how I'm the problem if I haven't been there.
Yeah, he was quick to throw you out. I think it's a culture problem here at Barstool that maybe he's pinning on you, but I think it's a little unfair to say that you're the problem with Barstool basketball.
Dave, that is not a personal attack. I would say, what's wrong with the Redskins? Dan Snyder. What's wrong with the Knicks? James Dolan. What's wrong with the Eagles? Jeffrey Lurie. It's just you remove the head of the snake, or whatever that animal might be, maybe some things will go better.
How about removing the GM?
Yeah, the GM could be a problem.
I agree.
Too.
GM is usually, I mean, the coach is the falter most
the
of the time, and it's been all 20 firings this
the
season.
Owner.
Maybe you
the owner
need to do me to make
the
moves.
Owner. I'll say this, the one game that everyone seemed to be happy about and feel good and like, oh, we're coming together as a squad was the game I coached.
All right, and come back. Come back and coach.
Yeah, well, sorry. I had business to attend last night.
I mean, Dave, I don't know if you're the answer, but right now this team needs something because I haven't seen them this bad yet, which
is sad.
Saying something.
Hashtag sad.
It is sad. Even Fran is mad, Dave. Fran is real fed up, which
well,
is my
Fran's
sign.
A bum, too.
Fran's a bum, too.
I mean, Fran skipped out. She's supposed to be the number two, and she goes to a hockey game. So I
well,
mean,
you, I mean, you're supposed to be number one, and you
problem.
Skipped out to go to a basketball game. So where's?
But I was very clearly always going to be in and out.
So you just let it be known you're going to be a bum.
100% of the games.
So you were.
I mean, I was in LeBron's face, absolutely.
Yeah, and how did that go? How did that go?
LeBron's. I'm going to tell you something about this guy. He's the real deal.
Yeah. No. LeBron breaking.
Wait,
news.
Dave.
LeBron
you think LeBron's
is
the
real
deal?
What?
You think he's a real deal, LeBron?
LeBron's a tough matchup.
Huh.
He's like always the biggest, fastest, strongest guy in the court.
LeBron
and
James?
Just tough. But I'm gonna say this. There's not many guys who would scream at him down 30 literally the entire game, but I did. And
let me tell you, you're a hero, Dave.
Yeah, Frankie asked me, I am a hero. Frankie asked, he's like, do you think he hurt me? He's fucking right he hurt me. I mean, the place was dead silent. And he's standing a foot away from me, and I'm screaming that I know he's online. That was my big thing. Like, I know you're online. Like, stop with Zero Dark 3023. It's a stupid name. I did a lot of chirping, a lot of yelling. I think the Celtics are in trouble this series, though.
Oh, my God. Your smirk last night when that halftime reporter asked you if you're going to win the series and you said yes and then just laughed out loud was, I mean, that was as telling
as
it gets.
It was a tough time to be asking that. We're down 100 at halftime.
That is a tough question.
Dave, when LeBron dove right in your lap, was that, like, the most excited you've been since the Super Bowl?
That was serendipity. I mean, that he started crawling towards me. I didn't know what to do. I was like,
you should have noogied him.
I should have noogied him. Gaz was not ready in the camera. I mean, thank God they had it on TV. I mean, those seats, by the way. Cole, you're a Celtics guy. I mean, not to make you feel bad, but the Celtics guy came up. He's like, you can have these whenever you want them.
How does that make me feel bad? Can I have them?
No, because
no,
I'm not going to give them to you.
That's outrageous.
They don't want to see you. No, they don't want to see you, Cole. There's no benefit for them to be like, oh, let's put the fucking...
Me and my pal Dave.
Elephant.
I could have told you before the game that LeBron James was good. I didn't need to wait for the end of the game to know that.
No, he's a good player. I mean, he's a tough guy.
Breaking news on Boston Radio.
No, the funniest moment, though, was by far when I started chirping Dante Jones. I was like, you choking the TBT. He almost passed out when I said that to him. He did like a triple take, like, who the fuck's talking about the TBT? But he remembered me. I didn't think he would.
That was a tough L for you, Dave, because you were in his kitchen, as you proclaimed, and everyone's retweeting it, everyone's getting excited, and then LeBron just shit down your throat. It was very reminiscent of Nate being noogied for 60 solid seconds, screaming at you. I own you. I own your life. You're in my back pocket while you dominated him. That's what LeBron did to you.
Listen, this is why I don't necessarily always have the best time. I don't control my own destiny. I think I could have bodied him better than what they were doing. It was tough. It's tough to talk trash when you said somebody's just noogieing you for an hour straight.
Dave.
So and that's what he did. I wasn't saying he sucked, though. I was saying he was a baby, and I know he lies about Zero Dark 2330 or whatever the fuck that's called. So, yeah, it's tough to talk. Oh, I mean, he doesn't care because you talk trash and he just dunks on you. So it was
as
close as I'll ever be, but just it's tough.
Did you ever get any sort of vibe that there was a, like, did he hear you? Did he acknowledge that at all?
He 1,000%. Kevin, it would be like standing in the podcast room with me screaming at him.
Right,
he had
to have heard, like, right?
Right. But he gets it everywhere he goes, and he doesn't care. I don't think he was like, oh, this is the actual guy who hates me the most in the universe. I don't think that went through to him.
Yeah, well, I don't think LeBron James knows who you are.
Dave, if you had to be silent and sit in those same seats and you knew that the Celtics would win, would you do that?
Absolutely. No brainer.
So you would stay in those seats and just let LeBron dance right in front of you?
Are you saying that, like, I don't even like the insinuation of that question. Of course I would. It's not about me.
But I'm saying that you might have lit a fire under LeBron last night and made him play so well. So what if you went to a game and were like, I'm going to be quiet and just try and let LeBron be how LeBron is and not fire him up? Maybe that'll help the Celtics more.
That's how you really get in his head.
My seat wasn't even warm, and he already had 30 points. We're already down 50. I mean, I don't know that. It, like, happened pretty quickly.
I'm just trying to give you credit for getting inside his head, but also it might have fired him up a little bit.
I don't know. I mean, he's a tough guy. I've said this before on these very airways. He's a tough guy to root against because he always seems to win lately.
Yeah, he's doing pretty decent out there right now. You guys, we were talking all about the home court advantage and how he was going to regret that, and then in a matter of 48 minutes, it was right back into
game.
Yeah, I said that?
Just in general. Okay. There was some buzz.
Okay.
I mean, we were down at least 20 the entire game. That may be
so,
the first
so
time
we,
in that
we know you gave your prediction to at halftime that you're going to win the series. Do you want to give a real prediction here? Because, I mean, I think this is going to be over.
The real prediction would be we lose in five, probably.
I think five might be
somehow,
even generous.
I don't even know how.
Yeah, the way LeBron's playing right
I don't
now
know.
Is just...
When Isaiah tackled LeBron and LeBron was faking that injury, were you ready to, like, was that
oh,
like...
Oh, I was screaming. I was the only one doing it there. I was screaming. That was on the other end of the court, luckily for him. I was just screaming, there he goes again. That's what he does. Like, I was screaming. And I was doing, like, the crying symbol on my eyes.
Well,
but again, down a hundo the entire game makes it tough.
Yeah, it's tough to heckle when you're getting your doors blown off. Well, you tried your best, but you're a total failure, Dave.
It was very Nate Noogie-esque.
Yeah,
like,
it really was. I mean, the Dave LeBron. LeBron is to Dave as Dave is to Nate. It's some SAT analogy right there. You're just getting clowned.
Yeah, you're talking all sorts of junk as you willingly let another grown man nook you to death.
Yeah. So
that's essentially what happened last night.
Best of luck in the rest of the series, Dave. And if you're all in right. Boston, go check out. Where is it at? What bar? Lansdowne?
Pines for Pete. It's at Lansdowne Pub. Starts at 6:30. Awesome cause. Everybody knows Brady's by now. Awesome family. So me and Zolak are hosting it. It's a fun night. So come drink a couple beers.
All right. Awesome. We're heading to break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this edition of Barstool Radio on Rush 93.
Bye.
Zink. But Caleb and I were out last night. We were making a little content, and we went dumpster diving.
I saw this. So we have a little picnic table set up that where we put our bagels and we put our leftovers and all sorts of shit. And there's a couple boxes of cookies, and there was a sign. Somebody wrote a sign that said, "These are dumpster cookies."
Who wrote that sign? That's fucked up because...
I'll tell you what's fucked up is bringing garbage food into the office and leaving it there for people to eat.
When someone bites into the cookie and they're like, "Oh, wow, that was a delicious cookie," and then I surprise them and be like, that's not regular coffee you're drinking. That's Colombian coffee crystals. I'm going to pop up and be like, "Yo, these are delicious cookies that we have here. Maybe fucking be a little bit more open-minded about trash food."
First of all, golf clap for the SNL reference. It's one of my favorite skits ever.
Amazing.
The notion that anybody else in this situation is an asshole except for you dumpster diving idiots is preposterous.
Can I say in my defense that whenever Rome put the cookies, I was like, "We hit the right on these. We were in the trash."
No, yeah. You weren't. You were just saying, you said we should write free cookies on them.
No. I said we should. No. You know that's not true.
We should open them and slide them out a little bit. And
I said we have
like
to write that these were in the trash on it. You said, "No, I'm going to write that they're a gift." And you, in fact, did write a sign that said "gift," and
have eaten these cookies.
Who are they from? Like, the dumpster outside.
Yeah, they're like Girl Scout type cookies. People have eaten them.
Well,
like,
they were
a couple rows.
I told Brett, I was like, "Dude, those have been in the trash."
Wait a minute, hang on. The one box looked as if it was sealed. The foil was still intact.
Both were sealed when I brought them in. There were rows gone today.
I thought you meant that the rows were gone from the dumpster. Were really giving people garbage cookies. You're an asshole.
The funniest part about the entire night last night, we were literally dumpster diving.
Yeah, back
freegan.
Up.
Dude was a freegan.
What is that?
A freegan.
Free and vegan. So they eat vegan
and
they don't
dumpster
pay for
diving
anything.
Shit. Now, wait, just to back it up one more time, though. I remember we were on the show and this idea came about. It was during the break, maybe. What initially sparked this dumpster diving thing?
Dave was like, "You got to do this."
It was an assignment.
Just like a funny thing to do. Wasn't there like a hook or a reason or something in the news?
He literally was like,
"Go dumpster diving.
You guys have to do this." Like, we did it.
Okay, so you guys go dumpster diving.
With
the freegans. So you link up with some pro dumpster divers.
There was literally a dude that had a beard like as long as, what's the guy's name of Harry Potter? Dumbledore?
Yeah.
He had a beard like the length of Dumbledore's, and he was like in a Walmart vest, and he was telling us about how the best locations and where the competitive dumpsters were.
Now, are these people homeless? Or
no.
Sometimes they're just like about this life. They're not really like necessary. They just want to, right?
I don't know. He was smelly, though.
He was. Well, I mean, he lives in... He's frequenting the dumpster.
He has a job. He's a dog walker. He works about 4 days a week.
Yo, you can make cake doing that, by the way.
I'm saying, bro.
Straight cash, and there's a lot of fucking dogs in the city.
Ron
have any expenses.
Ron kept trying to eat, like, the watermelons and stuff from the trash can. He's like, "Dude, don't eat that. It's not..." He's like, "It's not safe." Ron was trying to eat sushi, like, outdated sushi from the trash.
I'm healthy today.
Literally, the freegan guy was like, "I wouldn't do that if I was here."
I out freegan the freegans. I beat the freaks at their own game. The freaks.
No, the funniest part about the whole time was they were looking for clothes, and this guy's literally like, he's in a Walmart, like a walker jacket, and he pulled out one of these shiny
reflector vests,
like from like Urban Outfitters, like a glossy,
okay,
nice, like kind of puffy sleeveless
vest.
We're
talking like Mo Money Mo Problems type of
exactly
outfit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That.
Okay.
And he was like looking at like, "Yo, this is nice," and I was like, "Yo, I please wear that." I'm trying
this
to
is fire.
Trying to think about how to describe this. It was like a lipstick red glossy, puffy,
beautiful
vest.
And where are you guys dumpster diving? Where's this at? Brooklyn?
Soho. I think they're more resourceful in Brooklyn, so people don't. There's not as much waste.
They literally said that. They said you can't do this in Brooklyn because people are.
Everybody uses every last bit of the. Yeah.
Exactly. They're scraping the tin. Here, they're just like. There are just boxes of cantaloupe, boxes of cookies, like sushi.
I feel like bagels is a big one. I feel like they throw out the old bagels and they're like perfectly good, just a little bit hard, and you can just get just like bags of fresh bagels. Or not fresh, but. Clean bagels.
And they just said there's people who are better, there's people who are like really talented at dumpster diving, so like they said people might, three or four people might have foraged before Dude, us.
Talented so like, at dumpster diving. Said, what
a
world.
This is a competitive site. They might have already got here.
Oh my God.
They like judge the weight of the bags. It's absolutely beautiful.
He was describing how to pick a bag from the outside. I was like, oh, that's a good bag. It's a black trash bag.
Now, Caleb, you seem like, you know, you did it. Roan,
I didn't do it. No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't do it.
No,
he Roan, was there. He didn't. Roan he didn't
did
get his hands.
Cause I didn't. I didn't go dumpster diving.
My point
I'm
being
not.
That Roan seems all in on the dumpster diving life.
He literally was drinking a half drunk carrot juice.
Oh my God!
It's dumpster diving. Like, why would you go dumpster diving and not dumpster dive? It's like, why would you even?
No,
why
no,
would
no,
you even
no,
sign
no,
up?
No, no, because the dumpster dive means finding like the clean food that happens to be in the dumpster. You were just drinking garbage.
I drank.
He ate a watermelon that had already been eaten.
No, it had already been cut.
And a watermelon is like exposed and like
that was exposed.
Wet, and it seeps up.
But
I
it mean, was supposed.
Are you just gonna drink like puddle water too? Like, oh, it's water. I mean, you know.
You trashed your last.
I'm the picture of health right now. I feel like I'm the healthiest guy in the room. Caleb's hungover from freaking doing whatever he was doing.
What?
Caleb, are you not? You're wearing the same clothes you wore yesterday. I feel healthy. I feel
you
spry.
Ate trash
I
out of
feel
a trash
young,
bag.
And I'm better for it. I'm a better man because
you
I
know
did
what?
That.
That immune system is going to be popping. Like you're exposing yourself to
I'm
all sorts
strong.
Of shit.
I have all the diseases
I'm strong,
right now.
Man.
I got every disease that there was, and they're all just trying to get through the door simultaneously.
So none are getting in.
None are getting in.
Yeah, and something different.
Well, good chat, KFC, because you called me ugly on Twitter a couple weeks ago.
Oh, was that you?
Well,
true or false?
What?
Oh, damn.
True or false, what you said to me was exceptionally rude as well.
Well, I didn't call you ugly. I just called your mole ugly.
Oh, I called something on your face ugly. I didn't call you ugly.
Wait, what'd you say?
Well, I said that it was when Dave got his hair plugs. So I asked if someone paid KFC, would he get that ugly fucking mole off of his face?
Why would you say that? And she capitalized, like, she either capitalized ugly or gross. She was like, would you get that ugly
gross.
Mole off your face? It's
gross.
Gross. And so I said, you're not cute. I said, you're not cute enough to be talking shit about anybody else.
Why did you say that to KFC?
Yeah, what was the, like, what?
Because it's flesh colored, so it just looks like a pimple.
But like,
no,
what
why
inspired,
did you say that?
What inspired
yeah,
you
yeah.
to like
no,
le-
hey,
pop
hey,
off
hey,
on
Gabby,
Twitter?
Listen, I get it. I don't love the mole on my face either. I understand the circumstances.
He knows.
I don't need you. Why do you feel the need to put that on blast?
He sees it every day,
every fucking day.
It's your one flaw. So I mean, had to pick on something.
He's got an Achilles heel.
Well,
what?
First of all, thank you for saying that's the only flaw. But second of all, still, that's fucked up.
Well, sorry, I'm not sorry.
Damn.
Well, you know, I mean, Gabby, thank you for the call. I'm going to hang up on you because
so
I'm going to start getting rude. I'm going to start being mean if we continue this. I'm just saying, I mean, she wasn't like ugly. Yeah, no, she's not. But,
oh, damn.
I'm just saying, people kind of got on me for that. They were like, oh, that was so fucked up. Like, somebody was like, this is why you're never going to make it. This is why, like, your show is failing. All this shit. I was like, if you want to dish it, you have to take it. You're gonna just for no reason just come out and say
she's
that my face is ugly.
You?
Come on, I deserve to fire back. No,
that's crazy.
Yeah, this is fucked up.
Someone says, "Yo, you're ugly." You can be like, "No."
I can clap back hard.
You're the ugly one here.
Yeah.
Whoosh.
Yo, there's one time.
Yeah.
There was this one time. Yeah, there was this girl I couldn't get rid of.
Uh huh.
And I just couldn't
Thanks
get rid
for the
of.
Call, Tommy.
I couldn't get rid of her. Like I just, no matter what I did, she was like. Coming back. And she texted me one time, and I was like with my friends, and I had told them about how crazy she was. And I was like, yo, watch this. I said, yo, I can't come because I'm smoking meth. You know what she said? I don't smoke, but I'll come.
Oh my
what?
God.
I don't smoke like that, but I'll hang.
I'm not kidding. You guys tweaking?
Yeah. People, I tell that story. People are like, "Well, what'd you say to that?" I was like, "I there's nothing you say after that. You don't text back." I was like,
"A smoker's only."
She's on meth now. Caleb's got that.
Caleb's got that good. Good. If he's like, "I'm a meth head," and chicks are still looking for it.
I'm smoking meth. I don't smoke, but I'll come.
I'll chill. I'll just get secondhand. I'll just get secondhand tweaked.
Meth. I don't like. I want to be around you for the next 14 hours. Well, you think like there are like crickets coming out of your skin. This is what I want to be around.
Whoosh. John wants to talk about she who will not be named, but we got to take the call. John, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I won't use the name, but we're talking about Hammy, of course.
Right.
Hit me.
Hey, does Portnoy have that little a pull with SI that he can't get her like banned and abolished?
Yeah. So if for people who don't know. Dave's ex posted an Instagram the other day saying that she got the call back for some Sports Illustrated swimsuit model search. One of 35 out of, you know, however many zillion girls posted pictures on Instagram trying to make the cut. Somehow Hammy gets in.
They're giving away.
Right? I mean, I don't want to – I don't like getting too much involved with this, but, like, SI – is
we'll
in
take
trouble.
Anyone,
as yeah, as I used to be like the pinnacle. What do you mean?
I think they like we. No one else even knew this fucking talent search was happening.
Correct.
Now we're talking
correct.
About
well,
it.
I was
we're going to keep
say,
talking about it when Dave yeah. comes back next
I
week.
I mean, if you're woke on this for sure, I think that there probably is a stoolie or someone involved being like, let's just fucking throw this one in the mix. It's right. almost like The Bachelor. Where it's like you got to pick. You got to have the crazy one. You got to have this one and that one. You got to check all the boxes to make it interesting.
You know,
like,
she should go on The Bachelor because I would honestly like to watch the fucking.
Imagine.
If, yo, this is a better career path for you, Hammy.
No, God,
you're
please,
listening.
No.
But do you think she has SI talent?
No, dude.
No.
SI talent, at least in my mind, is like the cream of the crop, like right below Victoria's Secret
like
models.
Some alien-looking girls, like that came in here for Barca Radio. That
yes,
way.
Like women.
Those
that
girls
are like,
don't look like normal girls. Like you don't see even in New York City, the girls who came in here from Victoria's Secret, you don't see those girls even in the city. Like when they came in the office, like. What are these, like,
yeah,
what?
Like, are you human? It's just those
Francis
are
Francis almost threw his job out the window trying to get one of them.
I mean,
yeah, that is, that's the kind of girl that should be on the cover or in the pages of SI.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
We're back. It's Barstool Radio wrapping up the first hour here on a Friday. Your boy Roan brought up my main man, Anthony Weiner, who, that dude, his little ostrich face and his weird dick just can't get out of its own way. He has ruined his life and his wife's life.
Four times over.
Over and over and over again. He is now, he had pled guilty to the charges, which are, we still don't know, Coley?
No, according to the AP, former U.S. Rep. Tony Weiner, whose penchant for sexting strangers ended his political career and sparked a probe that upended a presidential race, pleaded guilty Friday to a sex charge, tearfully apologizing for communications with a 15-year-old girl that he said destroyed his live stream in public service. He said, I have a sickness, but I do not have an excuse.
Fuck you, dude. Yo, so here's the deal. I've been covering the chronicles of Anthony Weiner from day one. He was such a funny character. The Carlos Danger, his dick constantly being sexted. It's my dick in a box. Him doing it over and over again, apologizing and breaking the promises.
During his own documentary, which he didn't stop the documentary filming. He made sure to chronicle every fucking millimeter of his fucking dick and the conversations they had about it.
And then it ruined the presidential bid. The only reason that whole Hillary email scandal thing happened was because
his
computers
were seized.
His
dick is the reason Donald Trump's president.
His dick, you know the butterfly effect?
Yo.
His dick, those pictures he sent have launched Tomahawk missiles into Syria. His dick has potentially putting immigration bans into practice in America. His dick has radically changed the world, and I was all for it.
He's like the most influential dick of all time.
Well, arguably the most important dick ever.
Yeah, as far as dicks that aren't impregnating someone, what dick has launched more ships?
I heard Adolf Hitler had dick problems, too.
That was the like the root of all his issues.
Yeah, seriously.
Hitler had the, I think that Clinton's dick would be up there in the ranks, most important dicks ever.
That's a big
dick. As we're not talking, you know, the dick that gave birth to, you know, that impregnated a girl, gave birth to blah 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 blah. Of course, those
a lot of people
dicks.
Say Joseph and Mary, but that's where you get caught up, and you're wrong.
That dick
you're
did
wrong.
Nothing.
That is not an important dick.
Joseph
has
virgin.
Maybe the most overrated dick of all time.
I feel so bad for Joseph. Yeah, Joseph got the rawest deal ever, man.
That's
raised
tough.
That kid, wasn't even his, wasn't getting laid. He's kind of like an afterthought in the Bible. It's
God
like,
didn't even visit on weekends.
God, like, maybe it was God.
God
pick.
Didn't even want the rights. He didn't even fight for his
Yo,
kid in court.
Mary is low-key also like one of the most overrated virgins of all time.
She was 13.
Of course,
she's a virgin.
Like the Virgin Mary. Yeah, every 13-year-old is hopefully virgin.
Yeah, I hope. Yeah, sincerely hope that one. So we got Joseph, overrated dick. Mary, overrated virgin. Anthony Weiner, most important dick maybe ever. It was all fun and games until he sexted the 15-year-old. Because then I can't really joke and have my man's back. I used to be like, yo, let him live. He's just sexting. And then it's like, well, now you're talking to 13-year-old.
How the
it's
hell was it? Where was it on the timeline was the 15-year-old?
It was
After the three?
After, yeah. It
after
was,
all three times he got caught?
And he said he was getting catfished, so like I don't think he knew, but like that's the point is that when you're so willy-nilly with your dilly, you don't know who you're sending it to.
So he
know?
Pled guilty. That's
yeah,
why
so
he
like,
thought he was getting catfished.
That's, I almost think he's pleading guilty too because he's like, yo, this is my brand. Yes, I send my dick everywhere. You plead not guilty to that, it's like you're not the dick guy
dude,
anymore.
His name is Anthony Weiner.
Weiner, and that is the serendipity I mean, of it all. That's where the universe came into play. And was like, here, Barstool Sports, here is a man named Tony Weiner who
cover
can't
this
stop
in perpetuity.
Showing his dick. He's from New York. He looks like an ostrich. He ruined
looks
the
like
presidential
a dick.
Bid. Looks like a dick. Acts like a dick. Has a dick that he can't stop showing. Sexed his side pieces with his children sleeping, like, on top of his dick. It's just the story. If you tried to write this story, Hollywood turns it down. Like, this is too unbelievable. Well, if we're going to name him Weiner, too, this is too much. And it happened in real life.
And the fact that you just told me that Huma's back with him
and
right now?
So Huma's, like, trying to make it work, dude. And if you've seen Huma, she was at the Met Gala. She was at all these...
Huma's the type of girl calling the Barca radio.
She looks miserable every time, too. You just see their pictures on, like, the red carpet or this or that, a charity event. She's just like, yep, my husband sends his dick to literally every woman he's ever come across in his life.
She's getting back with him as he's about to do a 2-year bid or some shit like that?
You know what?
She's like Gucci's wife.
I was going to say, she's ride or die, man. She's down for her man.
This is insane.
Yo, by the way,
Remy Ma.
Gucci not get on the knee to propose was such
pimp.
Rewrote the game.
Pimp shit.
He literally talked about influential. That guy, I mean, that's progressive.
You know what he did?
That's 2017.
He had his hat on back, or he had his hat on forwards. He flipped it backwards. That was his.
That was his.
That's the knee
I
of the 21st
century. I need you to see my whole face. Yeah.
I will allow you to look at me. Yeah.
He got down on his knees. Like, and the girl's like, no, he didn't. He just said it.
He stood up. Yo. He was sitting. He stood up to propose. That's
let me get on a phone book.
At an Atlanta Hawks game.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the most monumental thing that's ever happened at a Hawks since Larry Bird hit like 60 with his left hand.
But Tony is I've been preaching the JJO movement for a while, and really he was the main inspiration for it.
Oh, he's jerking off though.
No, but he's not. Because if Anthony Weiner, and this applies to every man out there, if you're about to send a dick pic when you shouldn't be sending a dick pic, be it you're in a relationship or be it you don't need your dick out there to some strange girl.
She shouldn't be, if this isn't the girl to be sending your dick to, maybe she's
right.
15.
Exactly. It could be her situation, could be your situation. If you crack one off right before you do that, when you have that clear head, you're not sending your dick. I almost guarantee you nobody will send a dick pic post-masturbation.
Because he sounds like he's almost trying to, like, follow the letter of the law of just jerk off. And he's like, oh, babe, but I was just
jerking off.
But it's like, it's a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah, the point is when you do it beforehand so that you don't do dumb-ass shit. You can save your marriage. You can save the presidency. You could have saved the United States of America if you just jerked off, Anthony Weiner.
Yeah, but that guy, if he jerked off every time he had a sexual thought,
we'd be non-stop.
I mean, New York would be.
That guy would just be in the bed in the restroom every day.
I can't believe Huma can't get some better like
Yeah, you said that Huma, you said that Huma could catch some prime dick right now. You sound like a Huma guy.
I think that she's a fantastic lady. She's a woman of the world. A wow to me. She's just
She seems very similar to George Clooney's wife to me. Like same sort of look, same sort
name.
Of background.
They're both named Huma, right?
Yeah, but they have this. No, she's Amal. But they are similar, so that's part of it. But they both are like involved in politics and humanitarianism, this and that kind of bullshit. And like
good, ambitious, like
right. And one is dating George Clooney, the best bachelor of all time, and the other was dating Anthony Weiner,
the worst husband of all time,
the dick addicted sexter, the worst husband of all time.
Just I really can't believe that she's, and maybe it's for the kids that she's going back to him, but it's like, yo, go fetch yourself another politician and get back on this train.
For real.
Go help out.
Honestly, I hate to, I mean, like, it's a bad look for the chicks out there.
Yeah.
Like feminists must fucking hate Huma.
Yeah,
hate her.
She was the one. She was Hillary's right-hand woman, and now, like, she's just
going back
to her dick man?
That's such a chick thing, like, you hate to generalize and boil things down, but, like, chicks want to have boyfriends, they want to have husbands, they want to be in relationships, they want to be secure. All of a sudden, your professional life is totally blown up. You don't want to be out on the market solo at the same time. You got to be like, well, go,
you don't think
the devil you know, man, the devil you know.
Yo, and if you think that Bill Clinton never made a pass at Huma.
Oh, I mean, Bill Clinton's probably been inside Huma. Come on.
Allegedly. It's on her, honestly. You know that he was all for that. But
I mean, she could pick up the phone right now and make it happen.
Her judgment is clearly not good.
Clearly.
If
actually,
she had good
you know
judgment,
what?
She'd
you know
fuck
what?
Bill Clinton.
In that sense, they're the perfect couple. Anthony and Huma. Never been a better couple.
Zink.
And shout out to this girl in Brooklyn. Of course, it's Brooklyn. She calls herself a soligamist.
What's that?
Like solo, like solo monogamy.
Like self-love?
Married herself. This is the most backwards, hipster, and like female thing I've ever heard.
Also narcissistic a little bit?
Yes. But listen to this line. Anderson's her name. What's her? Erica Anderson said she grew tired of people asking her why she was still single, so she married herself.
That so like people aren't gonna
like at Thanksgiving. Well,
I'm married.
Like,
I'm married. I am married. Look, I got a ring. Who are you married to? Myself.
You're looking at her, bitch.
The best person I know. The sexiest. The funniest. The most successful.
I wonder
my
how
damn self.
You think her sex life is good?
I'm sure it's the best.
I bet it's incredible.
I bet her partner, her wife, her husband knows exactly how to please her.
I bet they're both satisfied.
All the spots to touch.
Simultaneously.
What an asshole.
They feed each
other. Self-marriage. Soligamy.
I wonder how the bickering is between them.
Yeah. Marry yourself in Canada. You can marry yourself in Canada. imarriedme.com where you get... a fucking soligamy kit. I don't know. Stay
the
single.
Fuck, just print out a paper that says I'm mad. Like, what?
You're charging these people for this shit. Just stay single. Go get boozed up. Go have sex. Have some fun. It's the weekend in the summer. Barstool Radio. We'll see you Monday.
Hey guys, this is Chael Sonnen, and make sure you check out my podcast, You're Welcome. We talk about MMA, we talk about professional wrestling, politics, anything you need to know about today's top issues so that you can sound intelligent, and you get them all from me, your humble host, America's favorite gangster. Make sure you check me out. You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen, and new episodes every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at Podcast One App, Apple Podcasts, and of course, PodcastOne.com.